New business, and I'm going to let's put tape number one to the last because that's probably the lengthiest, or next to last. But as far as the BLM grazing permits, Ben, you were going to check on, you were going to talk to them about resting the land.
Yeah, and we can go into more detail and stuff. I brought this for Paul for you to start sketching out stuff. This is the BLM's map of the rangeland and the improvements. You know, it should have all the fence lines, all the water holes, anything that we're responsible to maintain and stuff. I haven't got a plan. We're putting together a plan to try to look at. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to rest it completely as a whole, and so that's what it will look better if we're still using some, because they are under fairly heavy pressure from environmental groups to say, oh, well, we're not grazing at all kind of a thing, and so it looks bad. So if we do some on a minimal basis, and so that's something that, again, we've got several months to do, but I'd like to put together a plan. We definitely want to rest anything around what we've seeded and stuff. We don't want any livestock around any of those areas this next year. But I think overall, not only this year, but every year, to have a place where each pasture gets rested one out of every 5 years or something, you know, and kind of put in
rotation.
A long-term rotation. So well, that's what we're still, trying to put together.
Do you know what John Reese is working on over in Mill Creek?
Just a rangeland improvement project. And that's our range con that's over that, but we have to work through in order to get on the rotation and try to do some of that, where they've come in and removed some of the trees and done some reseeding and stuff. They've done a huge project along the highway between here and Lake Powell, and now they're doing a lot up there in above Podunk, or above Scootumpaw up in Mill Creek.
Good place to get firewood right now.
Removing all the trees. They've got the same equipment up there shredding trees and removing hundreds of acres. And so we can do some of that, but I've not been able, since last week, to sit down with Alan Bates and really go over this. We've exchanged stuff. Their GIS person had to print this map, and so that's one thing I wanted to get so that Paul could start getting familiar. If we're doing fence repair, we have no cows. That was the thing, is if we have no cows, then we put more effort into getting stuff tuned up and fixed up. But there's areas, I've been along most of it, but there's a lot of our BLM perimeter that's far outside of our private properties and stuff. I don't think anybody has taken a horse and ridden or hiked and hiked several miles of fence to say, in pretty good shape, a few repairs, or, man, there's stretches of 100 yards that are washed out or totally, taken down or something. We've got to start monitoring that whole thing, which is some good stuff, weather permitting, for Paul and them to get an inventory of that. So I'll go with this with you.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, that takes us to Clarkson Properties Incorporated, the proposal, the items that we hadn't discussed prior.
Let me back up once. Sorry, Clarkson Property. Let me ask one thing. I mean, one thing that I think that is going to work best for them, in just briefly visiting with them on grazing and stuff, is to possibly put something together to have a smaller, limited number of cows in there, in a certain area. We have had some discussion with, there's been several people, again, locally, and some of them that, know now that I'm on the board or some that have come and said, hey, we'd like to make proposals. What's going to be our process as far as looking at cattle operation? I think that we're going down a track to not get our own cows for the association in the next 5 years or whatever, but we're going to need to, be back, contracting that out. So I don't know I don't know who cares. I think if people, care or feel strongly, then I'm happy to, visit with them and have some input. If not, we'll start, trying to put together a plan and does some better, more responsible grazing and rotation. But to keep the, I think number one priority is keep the range and the ground in optimum use and health, so that we have the best grass and stuff to minimize erosion. And secondly, to have something that's part of the ambiance and the activity, to have an operator that will, have cows, but have a designated date that will go out in newsletters 6 months or more in advance when the roundup's going to be, so that members that want to come and participate or even be there to kind of be a spectator during that time, can enjoy some of that instead of never knowing. what the program
what
is.
What the program is. Yeah, and I think that's important to know, you know, when we get to that point, is like they have to have pretty hard when you're coming in and when you're leaving dates. Okay, and part of the contract possibly would be to, you know, share some responsibility with the fencing and you know, management of their cattle. Not our cattle, but their cattle. It's their cattle, they're gonna need to manage it and shouldn't be on us to, you know, if we can help and if the fences are in good condition, that would be easier for them to, you know, stay in the areas and stay away from the seeded areas and so forth. But yeah, that's not opposed to. I personally am not opposed to any kind of proposal that they want to bring to us, but we got to obviously look at it and make sure it's a win-win situation for the ranch. And Pat?
What happens to the each owner allows two steers or two cows on the ranch a year?
That's still allowed. I mean, that's in our bylaws.
Right. And I think to have the operator, you know that that's something that they, you know, to respect. I mean, even if that's open, that's still going to come down to a very few number of people that have ever really taken advantage of that consistently. A few people have tried it 1 year and then said it wasn't worth it, you know, so they'll learn that on their own.
They're free to come look at my cow for $5 a hit.
Yeah. So I think that whoever operates it has to, you know, still be able to coordinate and cooperate with
Yeah, with us. Good point, Pat. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions about the grazing? Or I think, yeah, you got some good ideas. We can move forward with putting something together so that, you know, if someone wishes to approach us, that we have guidelines and that they would have to abide by, and it's a mutual understanding. And
go ahead.
Why are we thinking of eliminating our own cattle operation?
What? We don't have the infrastructure. Right now we have.
It's okay, but right now, just a minute ago you said it looks like that, you know, down the road, 5 years down the road or something, that we will not be in the cattle business at all.
No. I don't see the association ever owning a cow again. I think it was dumb idea to begin with. It's something that we can't even manage our cabins and our fixed assets, much less four-legged assets walking around that we don't even know where they're at. So it's something that we will make more money and enjoy more by having somebody that's really in that business running their cows. So we have, you know, the association bought cows. We haven't managed them. We've just now finally sold them and got rid of them. I don't see those ever coming back. I think that we need to contract and lease our grazing out and cooperate and work with somebody else that has winter range to take the cows to in the winter and bring them back each year and have an operation.
It would be a revenue stream for the ranch if we did it this way, as opposed to a liability by having our own. When we have our own, we have to buy hay for them in the wintertime, and we have to inoculate them, we have to preg check them, there's a lot of expenses.
All the things that we haven't done, we've proven in the last 3 years we don't know how to do. Or
we got away
from horses as well.
We don't have any horses.
We don't have any horses left already.
I know, used to, but.
I was talking with, what was that, Mel Heaton, that's what he does.
Right, but we know if we have someone who wants to make a proposal to us, that's fine. That's in the future. Right now, we have no horses. We have no cattle.
No horses.
Okay. Members can have horses, and members can have their two heads. You know, if it's approved. Obviously, if every lot owner wanted to put two head of cattle on a ranch, we couldn't do that either. It would just, the number would be too large, right? We wouldn't be able to.
No, I mean, the ranch has handled that. It has handled that many, and to this, it should be able to handle that many.
Well,
in its present condition, it won't.
But who's going to do it?
Right.
Right. That's my point. It is, who's going to do it? All right. Well, thanks, Ben. And right now, we'll just move on to the proposal and where we stand. Last month, let me just say that last month, we looked at the proposal from Dale Clarkson, Clarkson Properties Incorporated. And that he made a PowerPoint presentation. It's very good, and he gave us the leaflets to go through and look at. And at that point, we said, go ahead and continue with the process. We'd like to see more details as far as contracts and other budget proposals. So that's my introduction to that. Dale.
John, I sent a letter to the board and probably 10 other people who have indicated a very personal interest in the ranch. All of them could go to the web, the internet, and see the proposal that we made. And ask for their comments. And for some reason, and this may be the deciding factor, I received two answers. Out of the 20 that I sent out, I received two, which would indicate to me that there's no interest. And so to follow through on that, because everybody's spending a lot of time. We haven't got a lot of time to waste. Whether your budget needs to be totally changed, if the cabins aren't going to be used, if the cattle aren't there, if somebody else, Johnson's, are doing the farming, then maybe things change. So I have a suggestion here for you two, and I'd like for everybody to take a piece of paper. There's a lot of people saying it has to be transparent. The best thing to make things transparent is to have a piece of paper. And what I'd like for you to suggest, and I have a summary also to hand out here. But we did this. I think all of you have seen the presentation that we did last time. And Pat has put together a little presentation that we didn't print it up and bind it and have it for all of you. We've got to decide on whether it's worthwhile or whether it's not. And excuse me, but I really need to know what the level of interest is, John. If we're going down the wrong road or spending money and time, none of us, you know, want.
No, we don't want to. We don't want to spin our wheels for nothing. We want to make sure that. I mean, let's see what you have, and I really would like to proceed forward.
What I'd like everybody here, I think everybody here, if you put your name at the top of the sheet of paper you have, I've got an extra pen here if somebody needs one. I'll borrow one. And I'd like for you to number down the side, 1 through 15. All it seems, 16. Can't count the number. Just put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on down to 16. And I would really like to have these handed in to give us a guide on where we are. Communication is very critical, and we need to have people's honest feeling on these things so we know. So you know how to move forward.
Yeah, we need some valued input. Absolutely.
So this starts out, Deer Springs Ranch, looking ahead. We've been looking behind, but we've got to look ahead where we go now. And whether Utah Properties is involved or not involved is one of the questions that we have. Second item, roads. They've been pretty muddy and rutted and so forth, or they've been topped and graveled, and much more. Our roads, in many cases, are better than the county roads. Much better.
They are now.
Right. Okay, so we put that down. Water rights. Protect our water rights by use. Improve the ponds. Clean out the ditches. We have, you got that first sheet that showed a half dozen reservoirs that have been tuned up. Somebody said, oh, let's not hurry. Let's take a few years to do this. The work we've done on reservoirs is going to wash out if we don't complete them. If we don't get the ditches, the head gates, and some of the other things in place. This, by the way, is the hidden reservoir that I don't know if anyone in here has seen. We've put clay out of the bottom of that up on the side hills because it never would hold water. We're redoing that 20-foot high head gate that's in there. Worked on it yesterday.
Where's this one at, Dale?
It's about halfway between headquarters and the wet meadow.
Northwest of Leaf Spring.
Yeah, you know, the Leaf Spring
area. I've been there, Dale. I saw the work and it looks great.
You got to go up the hill. You got to get back in there ways,
yeah.
Right?
It's probably
build a fire up there.
200 yards from the
rest. Yeah. Okay.
My nose works.
Improve the ponds, clean out the ditches. Now, Brent's got a little cat and talked about cleaning some of the ditches. It's a lot easier to clean ditches than it is to build them, and we've got miles of ditches to clean. Cabins, we've got to worry about the improvement, and it's not a little thing. It's thousands of dollars worth. Cabin management, I think some critical changes have got to happen in the management and the cabin use. But it's up to the board or the members as to why they want to do that at the present time. Next, utilize the acreage. I think anyone that's been up there is excited to see these big John Deere tractors come in and beat the brush, mow the brush, double disc, plant those areas. That one kid ran 42 hours straight without stopping, trying to get ahead of the storm here a couple of weeks ago. And when I left last night after dark, both the lights were going, and he said they worked all night. They're really trying to get a job done. They see a high value in what's happening, and I think we should bend over backwards to assist them any way we can. It's decision time. It's time to fish or cut bait. Please cast your vote. Now, there's some, you know, does the ranch need help? I'd like for your honest opinion.
Okay, for those who are conferencing, I'd like to have them do this exercise with us. Okay, so have your paper out, blank sheet of paper, you know, number 1 through 16 on the side, and then we'll go over these individual items one at a time, and so you can write down. We're actually watching a PowerPoint presentation, so it's easier for us that are in the room to follow along, but those of you that are conferencing, just try to do this exercise also, because this is valuable input.
Okay, what was number one, please?
Number one is, does the ranch need help? Question.
Okay.
Or no?
Yes or no. Do the members know the ranch needs help? Now, there's still some members that say, I like it just like it is. Leave it alone. Don't change things. Don't kill the brush. Leave it just like it is. So I'd like to know from the group who are, have papers in front of them, do the members know the ranch needs help?
Well, I think those of us here know that the ranch needs help, but I think overall, as a whole, I think a lot of the membership do not know that. And that's possibly on, that's probably on the boards, maybe not getting that communicated enough. Or if they visit the website, obviously they know that, but to what extent, I'm not sure.
I think they just don't know the potential and how a cattle or how a ranch is run.
Yeah.
That's
John, and there's a slide later that's going to key into that.
Okay.
I think that for our involvement, we need to know what the board does to represent the membership. And if the membership doesn't know, you say you do, then we need to, you know, go from there. Next item.
Mr. Christmas.
Do you agree the ranch needs, as outlined on the Clarkson Properties November 15, 2008 PowerPoint presentation? Did we miss the boat? Were we on target? Should it be more? Should it be less? We're not interested in playing games on this thing, and so we need to know what is the situation. Number three, ranch cleanup. Maybe it's all cleaned up and ready to go. Protect the assets. Are we doing what the bylaws dictate, that we're protecting the assets? Do we need to change and streamline the leadership? Should the board meet more or less? Should there be a general manager? Should there be... I have four file cabinets full of records on Deer Springs Ranch. Now, somebody said, let's make two sets of copies of all of those things. I'm happy if any of you, you know, spend couple of $1,000 to copy them. They're available if somebody wants to do it. But there's, I think, still a lot of our records are lost, and so I think some streamlining of leadership needs to happen. Reduce the assessment. I know Dave was pretty strong about not increasing the assessment, but do you think we should decrease it? And from the looks of your budget, if you've overrun to use up the cattle money and stuff, that should do something for the assessments. Update the documents. No question, the bylaws and protective covenants and rules critically need to be updated, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you say no.
Maybe you should state the number on those questions for the people that are listening.
Oh, excuse me. Number one was ranch cleanup. Number three was ranch cleanup. Number four, protect the assets. Number five, streamline leadership. Number six, reduce assessments. Number seven.
Hold on just a sec, please.
Okay, let's hold up. Where are you at? What do you need clarification on?
Number six.
Reduce assessments.
Okay, thank you.
Seven, update documents. Next item. In your best judgment, is this plan, now I'm referring to
number eight,
is the plan that we presented that everybody I think has seen on the website. Is this plan good?
Yes, sir.
Number nine, will it help the ranch? Number 10, will it help the members? Number 11, does DSROA want to meet weekly or daily to formulate and activate a plan? There are ongoing decisions, multitude of them, that need to be taken care of on a weekly basis. And even with all the good things that Linda's doing and Paul and Nancy are doing and John is doing, that doesn't cover half of the responsibility of Deer Springs Ranch and its future. Do you want to...
Number 12.
Do you want to contract a concessionaire to fund and follow this plan? Next item. Authorization. Who will make the decision?
Dale, can we back up for one second?
Yes, you bet.
Number 12. Now, that specifically says a concessionaire, and I thought, in my mind, I'm thinking management company. Not that concessionaire can't be part of that. Maybe it's just the way I'm thinking, you know, so.
Operator.
I don't know if they're the same. Play like they're the same, that a concessionaire, a management company is a concessionaire. It's a matter of somebody being in place that adds a continuity.
Okay. I just think, but, you know, if some people just see that, they might think something else.
Yep.
Like, you know, so if we had, that's why I just wanted to clarify that.
Good point.
Okay.
Wrong word, a bad word.
No, it's not necessarily a bad word. It's just like, you know, maybe consonant, you know, / management group or whatever.
Good.
I don't know.
Okay. Authorization. Who will make the decisions? There are some decisions up there this last 2 or 3 months that I'm acquainted with that was made by some individual. Well, John, I'm not being critical of you. There's others that...
Others. Others have made decisions that we've had to come in for.
That's why I'm saying this is quite critical here.
Yeah.
There are some small groups of members.
13.
Number 13, decision by some individual. Number 14...
Does that mean like a czar? I mean one person?
Yeah.
Well,
person.
No, I'm saying some decisions come from members. You know, can you make a decision for the ranch as to how it should be operated? Number 14, is there a small group of people or members that get together, and there have been in the past, and made demands on the board, this is what you're supposed to do and say and write. Number 15 is the authorization to make decisions vested in the board of directors.
Repeat that, please.
Number 15?
Yes.
Okay, it's in the category of authorization. It says who will make the decisions, and number 15 is the board of directors is the bullet on that.
Okay, next. Invitation to membership in the December newsletter. Would you like, that you're going to write a letter and send out a budget here in the next week or two, I guess, to the membership. In the December newsletter, would you like to invite any members to present their plan with leadership and budget requirements for improvements needed at Deer Springs Ranch? Are there others? Pat and I have kind of put together a presentation for your consideration. There's some others that I think may not be in agreement. They may be in agreement, and I think that they should all have a chance to say, this is what I think should happen. And I'm asking, do you want to include a paragraph on this in your December newsletter so that in January you might have Plan A that you as a board put together, Plan B that some individual puts together. Maybe there's two or three plans that you have to consider at your a presentation. So it's just an invitation to others to not think they're being left out. So 16, should the newsletter include this opportunity for membership? Last slide. Merry Christmas and a happy, prosperous new year to you, your families, and Deer Springs Ranch. Happy trails to you. That's all. I do have copies of the brochure that I think all of you have. If you wanted another copy of Deer Springs, so what's been in the past or in the future, be free to have a copy. So, John, that's my presentation. I'm happy to go either direction. I think we've done some exciting things up there with the reseeding and the water work, and would be happy to have your input at this point.
All right. Thank you, Dale. I appreciate that. This exercise has been very good. I think it does show where we need to obviously probably make improvements if we got these together. Probably in a lot of agreement on quite a few of these items. It's not
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bob.
And Dale, you're going to let me know on the results of this survey, this exercise, or
you bet.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to say, and I've given this many hours of thought since the last meeting, and even prior to the meeting, obviously as a board member. And as one who gets a lot of calls and tries to do my best to, you know, put things together for the ranch, you know, I have, you know, initially at the beginning of the year or earlier in the year when as board, we went with another concept of, you know, less is more, back to the basics. But even that, you know, I realized that, you know, We to make progress and to move forward, we're going to need help. That's just my opinion, okay? Thank you, Dale. Appreciate that. You have lots of time and thought to, you know, a lot of these aspects that Dale brings up, it's pretty overwhelming for even just one family to manage at the ranch, and then with little support from the membership. Oh, we have great support, those that do help, and we've gotten managed to get a lot done this year, but obviously we're not making any headway, and you know, if you're not making headway in these days, you're going backwards. And so that's just my opinion, and I think that I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to the membership too, and I'm really pleased with the presentations that have been brought to the board, and that's something that I think we can do well with. That's just my own personal thought. Anyone else?
John, here's a copy of the letter that I sent. That's kind of a summary, so you
right.
might use that as a. That's into my.
Thank you, and I did read your letter on the email, the one you sent on email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A commitment.
Commitment. Yeah.
So you may want to read it to the intercom.
Let me go ahead and read this in for the recording of our meeting. This is a letter dated today too. It's also forwarded to the members of the board and others by email. This is from Clarkson Properties Incorporated. It's addressed to John Southwick, President of the Board of Directors, Deer Spring Ranch Owners Association, and the reference is, it's a commitment letter of Clarkson Properties Incorporated. Dear John and members of the Board of Directors, thank you for allowing us time on your busy agenda. We can help in the following ways. Free use of quality inn, conference room, telephone, and internet for board of directors or other ranch member meetings. That's bullet number one. Bullet number two is a special 25% discount on room rates for Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association members arriving late or because of bad weather where they can't get up to the ranch. They get a discount here at the quality inn. Bullet number three is, upon the request of the board, I will be available as a consultant for Linda, Paul, and Nancy, and other employees of the board and other employees the board may hire, as well as individual directors of Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association as needed in order to give stability and continuity to overall Deer Springs Ranch program. Bullet four is the evaluation and augmentation of desired improvements being considered to benefit Deer Springs Ranch and its individual members is massive. A simple outline of some needed items were organized in the PowerPoint presentation given to the board on November 15, 2008. I will continue to work with the board on each of these items. Bullet five is the board may want to consider and develop a concessionaire-type contract with a private management company to include the total development and management of the ranch, which would add long-range stability to programming as well as bridging the uncertainties created by an annually changing board. And the last bullet, number six, is the board may want to modify their present budget to include money for desired improvement and funding of a general manager to carry the full-time responsibilities of the corporation. And in conclusion, Dale writes, please let me know how my wife and I can help with the uncertain challenges ahead. Sincerely, Dale Clarkson, Clarkson Properties Incorporated. Thank you. Any comments or on what has been read? This, can I post this too on the website with the proposal?
What?
Okay. We'll go ahead and do that.
Vance got a copy of that, didn't
Vance, you? Did you get a copy of this?
Yeah, could I, Ben, you were very helpful in getting me the PowerPoint last time. If you do that again, I'll have it up in hours.
Okay. I think I can do that. You mean on the PowerPoint?
Yeah, I'll put it right in there with today's audio, just like I did last time, for everybody to get to.
Okay. And then on this letter that was read, did you get a copy of that?
Yeah, I have it. I was reading along with you guys. I went back through my email and found it.
Okay.
Okay, good. Well, to proceed forward, which is, I think, I personally would like to proceed with, you know, some of these outline proposals. And were you looking for further, like say, you were going to work with us on these proposals item by item. Did we want to sit down together and look at how that's going to be as far as the details of, you know, were you going to propose a contract or because I in the proposal itself it said that you were going to have a contract and some budget proposals.
I don't really know how to write a contract, John, and I'm maybe with the information, this little questionnaire, to find out what the people want to do. I'd like to know what the members want, and then maybe we can help. I don't think that there's a way you could write a contract as wild as the differences are up there on what we should really do and what the future holds.
I mean, you can't count for every little detail or every little, you know, appease every other concern, but, you know, we do need to find a master plan as part of the proposals, and the board needs input on something like that, and I'm just, you know, I myself personally would like to be, you know, involved in this process.
If anybody has a suggestion of a way to move forward on it, I'd be happy to consider. I just don't know some of these things. There's other agencies involved, other people involved, you know, and...
I mean, a case in point of the records, you know, and then, you know, keeping everything together and organized and you know, getting a bill and not even expecting a bill from the BLM or, you know, what it's about. It's just, you know, these are things that just come out of the blue sometimes. And then, you know, we should be able to, you know what's going to happen, you know, better plan for the future.
I think this points up why we need leadership that bridges the change in boards. We've talked years of having a general manager who was in place for years and years and years, so that a lot of these things are known or could be known. And as long as our records are in four or five different places, I think there's going to continue to be confusion. And it's hard, you know, certainly no criticism of the nice job that Linda's done or Barbara did or Ben's doing or Paul and Nancy are doing. I really don't think you as the president or the board can spend enough time to get all these things put together. My hat's off to you if you can.
No,
I spend... 20 days a month up there, and I still don't cover everything. And having done that for, you know, 25 years, I'm very tolerant of those who try to comprehend it in a two-year period on the board, for instance. And I'm just saying... we happen to be in a position where we can help for a while, and or we can certainly do something else and go fishing.
This is Mike. Give me, when you get a minute, let me say something if I could.
Go ahead, Mike. You got.
Could the board today, so some action is taken, agree to move forward with the Clarkson Properties recommendation in kind and make a motion on that so we can then get into item-by-item discussion sooner rather than later so something positive can happen. It just seems to me like it's a great opportunity for a family like, well, Dale in particular, with his years of experience, to bring forth all of this information and have the time and the resources to make these things happen. But is it possible that today you can agree in kind to go forward and then start tunneling down into them as quickly as possible, piece by piece? And
Answer it quite, then I have a question.
Yeah, I think it's something that we may be able to do today. We're just in the beginning stages of discussion, but yeah, I mean, I think we can determine whether to move forward with it today. go ahead, Dale.
One of my and it's a money deal that the board has to work with. As we do different things up there according to my plan that we proposed, you know, it's not Santa Claus. They have to be paid for by someone. and some of the members who may contribute money to this overall development need to be dealt with fairly and honestly. One simple thing, Clint Gray said, instead of paying IRS, why don't you pay Alan Steed ahead for tractor work? When I read that, I thought, hey, I've got a big bill for tractor work right now, not Alan Steed. And so the cattle money, which was not in the budget, could perhaps go to pay for some of the improvements. I have a feeling that every dime that comes in is going to be used some way, and that there will be more demands, and because of the leadership and the involvement, that any pennies that come in will be gobbled up in the program, and that there probably would never be any money available for some of the improvements.
Well, we have seen that, because if you look at the way we budget and the way we've operated, is that it's at the end of the year, we're out of money. And that's just the way, the nature that this organization's been run. And that's not a very prudent way, but there have been opportunities to suggest different ways of doing it, but it just seems like...
Our budget was $7,000 per member for their association fees, and we had a budget of $700,000 annually. We would have $1,000 left at the end of the year.
Well, that's what
history
I thought.
History doesn't change.
No. Yeah, I know.
Linda said there was nearly $20,000 left, and with $10,000 on cattle, I thought you were going to have. Or that.
Well, I thought we were too.
Clint Gray. And now, evidently, if you've used the cattle money, you overspent last month's budget, and the $435 fee is not going to cover. And that may mean Dave is going to have a heart attack over here. Raise the budget on us.
Heart attack. Dave will sell his property before he has a heart attack.
Well, we don't want either one of those.
If we have a general manager, my thoughts are that has to be a self-sustaining situation where that general manager would be making something off of what's going on out there, because there's no way to pay for a general manager who is going to stay for years at the property. I mean, they're not going to take $20 an hour to do that. And so it would have to be a self-sustaining thing where what they did, they would make some money off of it, similar to what's happening with the Johnsons, where they will make the money off of their crops.
I'm concerned, however, that the general manager does some things and makes some more money, and the board says, hey, here's a hole that it goes in.
Mm.
You know, it'll all be gobbled up. If the thing is, and that's, John, I could not write a plan because not knowing how this that Linda just described could in fact happen. I think it can, by the way. There are a few businesses in the world that have income and expenses, and they manage it on a business professional basis. Deer Springs, I think, can do the same, providing we aren't. I remember nearly 10 years ago, I said at that time, Deer Springs Ranch has to have about $200,000 of new cash injected to take care of the cabins and all these different things. Some members wanted to sue me because I was trying to commercialize or do something, and they said the ranch is just like we want it. We do not need any $200,000 of improvements. I'd like to know if that's still the attitude.
Can I say something that I thought of last month in order to, you know, you guys don't get membership response other than
response, right?
You know, your membership response. You know, not very many people. But if you, it would cost a little bit of money to do this. But if you sent out like an outline of the plan with yes and no next to each little outline of the plan, and you send it certified mail, people aren't going to toss that in their trash and say, oh, another letter from Bear Springs. They would read it, and plus, and if there's a self-addressed envelope, stamped envelope inside to mail it back in, you might get a better response on the membership than just sending a letter or posting it on the website or something. Is that not?
Well,
I've been around long enough to have seen a dozen of those go out. Some certified mail. Some are going to hate me for saying this, but this is honestly how I feel, and I can't hold my tongue any longer. You know, I've owned a lot up there for and paid tax on it for decades. I've been on the board during the through the 90s. I've been off for 10 years. Now I'm back on. When I was not on the board, I didn't pick apart the board. If they asked me a suggestion, I tried to give positive input, and if not, I shut my mouth. Now that I'm on the board, I appreciate our core, same faces that we see that show up here, mainly that are local. We have a very small group of those that are on the conference call and stuff that are taking, too far to take a daily active role, but have really contributed to some of the technology and some of the enhancement of the ranch. I totally appreciate and agree that has bettered the association. However, I've seen in the past, and I don't want to see us run away, that we are pulling the members on everything. This is not a democracy. We don't live in a democracy. We elect people that we trust have enough sense and guts to do the right thing, and if they don't like it, then they can step up and run for the board and be elected. Even right now, in the last 3 months, this is our third meeting, we're still wasting more time worrying about Tom, Dick, or Harry on lot so-and-so than the people who are charged to run the board to make some decisions and move forward. That's never going to, you know, make everybody happy. And I am more open than most to suggestions, whether they're positive or negative, and taking that. But those are on the board. I think we've agreed to take the responsibility to make those decisions and try to carry them through. We can't every time be so weak in our abilities or uncommitted to doing our own research and homework and studying out that we default back to every meeting we're wanting to email out and get a poll of the member. If we're going to do that, let's disband the board altogether and make only decisions that receive over 100 votes, and then we just email.
I thought that you guys were looking for. That's what I was understanding from what I was hearing.
Well, and that's why I think that I don't. Some do. I don't. I want those that care. If it's a topic, that's why a lot of members feel very strongly on some areas and on 10% of the issues, and 90% they don't care. It's just not their core value or their thing. Some people will beat us to death on roads. They don't care about cabins. They haven't stayed in them and never will. Others only come as a recreational summer use for the cabins, and so they don't care what the roads look like today because they're only going to come between June, July, and August. And so as a board, we've got to respect and try to represent them, but that means for us to move forward, we cannot go back on every little issue and ask the members, you know, what's going to happen. And we've done that. That's happened in DSRA before, and then it just cripples the momentum. There, nothing happens. We committee it to death, and in the meantime, things are rusting away and falling down. And that's what's happened, you know, in the past. I don't want to see us going there. If members feel strongly, then I like those that are willing and that to do some research, put in their own time, help us do homework, and feed some positive input. I don't want to move forward on some of these because, you know, one or two members, again, like I said last meeting, now we've got more members engaged than I've seen in a long time, trying to move forward, trying to struggle through it. We don't need one or two members riding the brakes just saying, I don't care, I don't want to do anything.
Right.
They can say that.
Most of the members would prefer you guys would just take care of it.
Well, I agree. I think they elected people because, one, they didn't have the time, couldn't worry about it, and they're trusting and hoping somebody moves ahead and does something.
Right.
I don't want to be here 6 months from now. We still haven't really done anything because we keep going meeting to meeting saying, well, one member said this, and somebody said this on a blog. That's good, healthy discussion, but it doesn't shouldn't preclude us from still making the tough decision to move forward. We're going to make some bad decision.
Ben, that's why I put on there, who's authorized? I think all the members, I would appreciate that they would just mail the board. If I'm involved, I would like to only work with the board. Now, in the presentation that we had, I put in there a statement that some also challenged. Doing these things, prepare and present detailed plans to the membership with expectation of consensus approval. I think that we can't move forward unless the board or the authorized people have consensus, that all seven of you say, we vote to do this, And some of the members can keep their mouth shut and remove a lot of confusion on this thing by streamlining leadership.
Well, we all have to take our turn. Like I said, there's going to come a day in the very not too distant future that I'm hoping some of these that'll be here can take a more active role, you know, and take their turn. And when they're there, I commit that I will give them suggestions and positive input. But other than that, I'm going to trust and hold them accountable through the system that is set up to lead the leadership.
Either you guys meet weekly and do it, or you have a management company or somebody, and then you meet quarterly and make your decisions.
I have a question, please.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah. I've been listening to this, and I've taken some notes, and, you know, I see good stuff here that, you know, there's no doubt that the ranch needs in order to move forward, and I have to agree with Ben there about waiting on people out there to get their input before we make a move. And I agree that you probably never get any place if you work everything that way. But I'm looking at number 12 here, and I got a question on that, and I think this part right here is probably a bigger question than anything that I see on here with probably at least some of the membership. And
Pardon? Number 12 is what?
I'll go ahead and read it.
On number 12, it's an item here I think that probably be a bigger question with most people out there, and it's on the concession stuff, and I understand a concession is probably where we're going to raise the money to implement this, because none of this can be done without funding.
So the question is, do you want to contract a concessionaire manager to fund and follow this plan?
Yeah, but the word concession implies to me that somebody is going to be selling something or doing something to raise funds. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're not. And that's and whether it's management company / concessionaire, I mean, obviously,
that's the only way it could work.
I mean, with our if you look at our budget, and John, I know you've looked at our budget, you know where we're at,
yeah.
The expenses that come up, and if we didn't have the sale of the cattle, yeah, we would have been in a negative situation or right at zero anyway. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, if someone's going to come in and do these improvements that are needed, I mean, we don't have Bill Gates on our board to just fund it out of their own goodwill. So, obviously.
Cool, maybe I can talk to him. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, there's obviously they're going to be in some of these items that were brought up in this proposal, ways that they can make money. And let me just review that again quickly. And on the proposal, there are recommended source of revenue for the board to review, and stated that on the left it says to be managed by Deer Springs Ranch, and the other side with outside concession management. As far as the outside concession management or concessionaire, they could set up horseback riding operation. Obviously, there would have to be controls and liability concerns, you know, addressed fully, you know. ATV rentals. Obviously, once again, you would want to see some sort of control or, you know, to me, I think, okay, well, what days of operation, you know, what routes, you know, how, what's the impact to the membership and things like that. So there's ways for them to generate some, maybe guided hiking trips. I think we have an awesome place for guided hiking trips. I mean, you go.
Oh, I agree. I like those things myself. My wife especially likes them.
There are ways for them as a concessionaire to make money, but obviously the board would have oversight. I would believe that we would obviously have oversight and some controls to, you know, accommodate this. Coordinating a hosting family reunion. There's another, you know, maybe if you had some sort of a place for dining options that are available, a pavilion. It's not just it'd be for the membership too, but it would also be in a way that the concessionaire could make some money. You know, there's coordinating and hosting of youth camps. That's an awesome thing. You know, with the scouts or young women's organizations or whatever you might have to come out here and participate and enjoy. But, you know, obviously, and once again, with controls and liability
sure.
concerns.
And I think those are good things. I guess the reason I'm asking this question, say I'm not asking them because I disagree with anything here. I'm asking because I've seen some concerns here, and one of them is on the rental of, say, ATVs and how much of that's going to go on. Some people say they don't want a lot of it going through there. Well, I like riding ATVs, but some people don't want a lot of that going on.
Well, if we're going to have a concessionaire and they're going to have tours and this and that, obviously, you know, we don't run them running all day and all night, and you know, and there also has to be something to, you know, with that operation. If there's that degrades the road, there's going to have to be some revenue stream, not only, you know, for the concessionaire, but also for the ranch to, you know,
sure.
you know, continue with the
let me say one thing, John, because I think that I've seen what again. The presentation Dale's made and tried to think through that, so the board think through it. I don't know that we're ever going to move forward until we just sit down and we just start hammering through this and really see where everybody's at.
I agree.
As far as those things, let me just say a couple of things. Number one, one of our biggest concerns that I'm hearing from my constituents or the people that talk to me is liability. There's a circle or a veil or a protection that we can draw around the Deer Springs and our assets. We're right now in a lawsuit because of a donkey or whatever that was a killer donkey with gnashing of teeth.
He's joking about that killer
yes.
donkey. It's not a killer donkey.
Well, I've renamed
Come
it the saber-toothed donkey.
but
let me just say, that we're going to have to fight through that one because that donkey was inside of our circle. It was owned by at the time the Deer Springs Ranch manager. It was on our area. That's totally different than what the Johnson brothers are doing on the reseeding, which is outside of that veil. It is not DSROA doing that. We have under a lease operation kept that where we can cooperate, we get all the benefits, but they are outside of what, you know, we are not doing a reseeding project. We have contracted or leased or allowed another separate entity to do that. So when it comes back to horseback rides, ATV rentals, a lot of things that we've done in the past that you could get away with in the 70s and 80s, you can't really do and cover the amount of insurance today. The only way we're going to do that is by contracting that out, and that handles number one issue as far as liability in my mind, if it's done properly. Number two, we've proven we're not very good at consistently doing that, keeping a string of horses at the ranch, keeping, you know, if we want to keep in the ATVs rent repaired, we'll never do that. I want to address that. I don't know if Mike DeVault's still on the phone. I had a good conversation with him this week. That again is what I'm talking about, a relationship between a board member and a ranch member, because I appreciated Mike and I's discussion helped me think through and stuff. There seems to be, because of the last meeting, and I talked a little about the ATV contract of somebody actually has a trespass fee coming through the ranch in the last meeting, and there seems to be, I'm getting some, you know, quite a fear of people's visions of Deer Springs becoming the sand dunes, you know.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question.
I don't think there's a single member anywhere that is willing to go there. What I think, again, Dale threw out here is an idea that has been talked about forever as far as ATV rentals. And secondly, there was the one group that had been, you know, using the access through the ranch to access the National Forest. They should, you know, as I said last meeting, I had invited them to come today, and they should come today to talk a little bit, because I told them, you need to explain to the board firsthand what you're doing. We've talked about if we had them on a contract, they paid something like $5 per person trespass fee, helps us with a little income, maintenance of the road, but more importantly, it covers two or three things. One, it covers liability because they're properly insured and bonded, and it's their equipment and their machinery. Secondly,
right.
It helps us to keep it policed because under a contract, it's very easy to say, look, you get out of line, we cut the contract, you're done. That fear or that motivation helps to keep them in line a lot better. But I think that their company, they're the only one in Kanab or Kane County area. They would be fools, you know, they won't do it. Any of us would be idiots to go and buy 10 or 15 ATV vehicles and park them up on their street thinking we're going to make money renting them. It just isn't going to happen. To have somebody like this that would be able to be, to, you know, use the ranch as far as the access through it, but also in my discussion with Mike, I have ATVs and take mine up there. Other people rent theirs and speak of the devil. Lance Jackson from Anasazi ATV just walked in, so I'll finish what I'm saying. But there are people, we have members in Texas, we have members that are overseas that fly out or come out every other or every third year for their vacation. They're not going to pack their ATV and everything with them that possibly would, not possibly, I know they've called me before and said, hey, where can I rent an ATV? Because I would really like to enjoy some of the things that some of the locals enjoy, and we haven't really had that resource in the past. So, again, all of those things under the management contract we're talking about and the Clarkson Properties proposal has got to be, again, lined out up front. We're not going to know all the questions. We've got to move forward, but we're signing a contract, not a deed to the property. If we were giving the property away, then, yeah, we give away all regulation, you know, and policing authority. If we contract it, we've got to base it on the contract and always have a cancellation clause to say if this isn't working, we need to, you know, cancel it and go back to the drawing board, learn from our mistakes, and move forward. And we're still debating this stupid topic 10 years later, 15 years later, because we haven't done this before.
I'm done. And the box,
Ben?
Yes.
Hey, you know, I have to agree with everything that was said there. I think the only issue that either John or I have an uncomfortableness about that really we can solve that fairly easily is the details of that those contracts. And if we can get those hammered out,
must be Dustin Hollis,
we'll find a proposal of what we
contract, man.
Well, and really, that's coming from bad, you know, some bad experiences we've had in the near past. There, we get over those. I think we're fine. I think as long as we make sure we built in enough protections in those words that we have that. Then we're okay. I think ultimately this is a very beneficial thing, and we need to do what we need to do to move forward on that. As long as we get that part of it hammered out, and then make sure that that's transparent, everybody knows about it, it's posted up, and everybody can see it, and then, you know, we're not doing anything in the dark, then we're good.
Right, and I agree. That's fairly
simple. And we. We as board members need to, you know, we have the authority to do that. Let's move forward and get that done. And then if we can get the contracts of what we think we're gonna have for that part of it, I think we're fine.
Well, I think what we're at is like we want to move forward with it, but we need to sit down and go over line by item these how we're gonna bring this to fruition.
Well, and I think a lot of them are easy for somebody, an ATV operator, our cattle grazing operation, for people to bring a proposal and a contract. Those are fairly cut and dry and straightforward. An overall management contract that to cover the points of the Clarkson property proposal are definitely more difficult. And I know something that I think that Dale has struggled with saying, you know, where do you start? Whether we just start hammering through some issues, that's something that I think everybody's saying we need to move forward, but it's a bigger thing than one isolated little area, and much more difficult to put together.
Let me, if we got a maybe a copy of a similar type of contract for management companies for home associations, if there's a way we can find something like that and then use that and modify it as a base and then add the points that we need to do, that might be a good way to start.
Good idea.
Let me say this. You know, I've looked at this. Dale has put a lot of work in this, and I appreciate all of it. And I think I know Dale well enough now to know that what he does here is for the overall improvement and of the ranch and to make it really a better place to visit. And I don't see anything here that I would say that is bad. I see good stuff. I just, I just had these couple of little questions here, and it's like on the concession thing there. Here 3 years ago, I had a family reunion up there, and I had about 50 people, and I had three quads because I couldn't find anybody in town that were renting. And it would have been nice, if you know what I mean, to have had that, and could have been a good income, too, for the ranch and for those people. So I'm not against this. I just want to know. When I saw the concession and I'm trying to envision what all that encompasses, and then I have seen as I don't need to keep going over some questions about some people don't want a lot of them running up down there day and night, and you expressed that wouldn't happen and it shouldn't happen.
Well,
and there's a lot of things in concession. My wife brought up that she'd like to see during Western Legends, maybe we had a rodeo out there someplace, and then one of the places would be a good thing. And, you know, that would be a nice thing. But I might want to talk about that.
And those are the kind of things that are great ideas that board of directors of Deer Springs have talked about for 20 years, and boards in the last 20 years, and I will promise you, the next 20 years will never put together. It's something that one individual or one tight group of two or three people that are doing it Monday to Friday have to put together. It will never happen on monthly board meetings, and that's what
I agree. I 100% agree with that. I'm 10 hours away. You know, I can't even be up there to look at this face to face today. You know. So I have to do it here, and I'm missing something because I am here, not there.
Well, what I would like, I mean, I can envision this as a, like say, either a management group or a concessionaire, however you want to call it, term it, someone that's going to look at the day-to-day operations of the ranch, because there are a lot of things that go on, and I know as a board member and as board president that, you know, I get calls, you know, all hours of the day and night, but, you know, it is hard for me, even I'm just 2 hours away, to get anything done, so it's, you know, current situation, we're not making any progress, and if you're not making progress, like I said before, you're going backwards.
You're usually going backwards. There's no such thing as sitting still, I guarantee you.
As current board structure, you know, it's better that the board do what boards do and have committees and do little fun things and oversee management company. You know, oversee.
Yeah, a management company can certainly answer to the board.
Where we set policies, we set direction, and they in turn, you know, implement and get things done. Whereas we're just, you know. That's my thoughts on it.
Okay. Well, we probably need to proceed further on this then, and I didn't mean to slow the thing down. I was headed towards trying to make a decision to move on forward on it. I just had that question, and
your input's valued, and I value your input, and what you're saying is just right on. So it's no, you're just.
And I ask those questions because I've read some of the mail too, and I've. Seeing what some of the concerns were. And so as a board member, it may not be a concern of mine, but if it's a concern of somebody else's, I'd be, as a board member, I think I ought to at least mention it.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, Dave.
Well, we've had a PowerPoint presentation, and what I would ask Dale, what would it take to get a specific proposal, a specific budget impact, in other words, the financing required, whether it impacts our fees and our budget or whether it's self-sustaining, on our desk, in our hands? Like, take one item at a time, the concessionaire concept, because some of the other things are already in progress, the concessionaire concept. What would it take to get a proposal and a budget impact in writing?
What if we say you already have the proposal and the impact financially said we would fund that as it's lined out, either with the help of other members or come up with an idea on how to raise additional funds? Again, I think that's where...
You're saying to do that without raising dues.
Without... In fact, I would later propose a change in the dues down, not up. But that's, I can tell there's enough confusion to not even talk about anything like that now. But my proposal was that you guys do whatever you're doing on the budget. I think there will be a strong duplication, and that some of the waste that's going into the present budget through better management could be streamlined, and some of that could be offset. If we put in that chart, somebody said 220,000. I added it, and I thought it was only 200,000, so 20,000 one way or the other. It's a big item. That needs to be recovered some way, you know, in all practical business judgment, that 200,000. So how is it recovered? Well, some of it may be out of the CSROA budget, and that's why I felt that it should all really come kind of under one umbrella. For a half dozen people all going in different directions, I think have been damaging to the company. So how we combine that so that there is more streamlined management and we're not duplicating a lot of things. But my proposal was that there's several thousands of dollars to be spent, and that we have some thought as to how it could be recovered. But if the cabin, just using that because all of you are familiar, if the cabin income and use last year was $1,000 and a committee or somebody can, a concessionaire or a management can change that to, let's say, $20,000, how much of that money goes to the management company? The same thing is true in some other areas. Can money be saved for your approval out of the existing budget? Are there other ways? It's going to take work if you put together family reunions, if you put together concessionaires, other people. My concern would be that all of it will end up in DSROA's budget, and you'll be underfunded at the end of the year. So that's one, and I can't put that into a contract, Dave. Right. I'd like to, but I don't know any way that can be written today that would be effective. I'd be delighted to work with you or others on kind of progressively how this goes. But my proposal was that it would not take money out of your budget, but that you would be in agreement to protect the interest of those who do put the money in, believing that it would improve the ranch. Sean?
Okay.
May I ask a question to Dale, please?
Okay. Yes, John, go ahead. I'll follow up.
Okay. Oh, that's all right. You can go first. I just have a question for him. Go ahead and give your thoughts.
Well, I was going to change course for just for a second, but go ahead and let's finish up.
Okay. I'm asking this question to help clarify things for Dale. My question would be, you know, say that we went with we just go with this proposal, and I know that there's going to be fine tuning no matter. You do, whoever does, it's going to be fine tuning. But my question would be for you so that everybody might understand. How long do you think a plan like this, if implemented, how long do you think it would take before we started seeing an improvement that this is really going to work? And I'm asking that for this reason, and everybody voting on this, how long a time should we try this to just kind of satisfy people's minds?
John, personally, I'm kind of setting a deadline for I and my wife of 24 months, period.
4 months, huh?
Yeah, all you can. I think we're talking about 2 years, and number one, I think, John, you may have to say what's happened in the last 30 days up there, and is anybody objecting to it? Do they appreciate it? Have we made some of the headway? And, you know, what's the next step? And so, but I'm thinking that our involvement is probably all going to end within 24 months. So it depends on how cooperative. We can mess around and waste the next 6 months, or we can say, jump in with both feet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can say this.
It's going to be an improvement.
What's been happening up there in the last very short while here, if it moved along any even half that pace for 24 months, it'd be quite dramatic, wouldn't it?
Yes,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, I asked that question.
Okay, if thanks, John. If I could just change course a little bit. I'd like to pause, but I can't. We have, and we'll get right back to this. I promise. Lance here, you've come in to talk with us as a board. Lance, and your last name again?
Jackson.
Lance Jackson is here with the Anasazi ATV Tours, and the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, I know we have talked to different members before as far as trying to get permission to, you know, use the ranch road to get up to the Forest Service gate and get up on top. And then that's kind of, from there, we've talked with the band and others about possibly, you know, providing ATVs, doing rentals for people that are staying at the ranch and providing that, you know, that service for recreation. And so we're wide open for ideas. We'd like, you know, we take guided tours. People from all over the country will come out, and we'll take them on five-day tours. We'll go out to different areas and then bring them back to Kanab and feed them, lodge them. And we guide them all day. So one of those days per week when the weather permits in the fall and late spring, we like to go up on top of the Pinks and access it from this side, and the only way up there, of course, is through the ranch, and we've appreciated the permission that we've been given. We just want to make sure that that is fine with everyone and what we can do to help. I know we talked to Paul out there one time about, you know, if we need to pay a fee to bring per rider to use the road, you know, to access where to park, to, you know, drop our ATVs, and any speed limits and regulations that you have, we want to make sure we know and keep that in, obey that. And then, you know, talk with the board about if they need our services for your members that stay up there. If they'd like to rent from us, we talked about either letting them rent here and take them out there, or if there was enough demand and call for them, if we put some machines out there. We haven't got any further into the discussion than that, but we are open to any and all ideas as long as it works out well for you and it's well, it works out well for us and everybody's happy with that and that the liability is at a minimum for everybody involved. Somebody once said when it came to ATVing that everybody's a hero until they get hurt. You've probably seen that. And so as of yet, we haven't had any problems with our rentals and our rides. So anyway, I guess we just like that. It'd be maximum one time a week that we would take riders, maybe twice, that we would just need to cross the ranch and come out and to access the Monument Point. And then however else you'd like to use us and how we could help your members, we're open to discussion.
I'll take care of the question in here. How many riders are you going to bring?
That varies. The max?
On average.
Average? Oh, on average, I'd love to say 8 or 10. But as of yet, it hasn't been that many. One time we were very fortunate. We had a group that came in to do a group thing.
Right.
And we did take, I think, 8 or 10 riders one time. A few other times we've taken, 2 or 3.
Right.
And so, but we'd love to see the average be 8 or 10 riders at one time.
And that's mainly just right up Meadow Canyon to the gate.
Yep, that's right.
I think the concern of everybody is, private property and trespassing and, there's Crawford Canyon and Slide Canyon and Broad Hollow. If it's strictly up the Meadow Canyon, I think that's the question.
Meadow Canyon, is that the main road?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Road, yeah. They've never been off Meadow Canyon, so after
right.
Then you know what we're talking about. We have had, though, some violations, my lot, I've spent time on my tractor this last year moving rocks and logs because people cutting cross country and shortcutting through the middle of my lot
right.
In areas that I don't want.
Oh, you didn't want me doing that?
But I know the main culprit. I visited with them, and they have now explained, said they wouldn't. But it's mostly that's the thing that I'm a little bit puzzled because people say, well, we're going to have all these problems. We already have all these problems. You're right. We have all these problems. We don't have a concessionaire. We don't have a contract with anybody that's agreed to follow any rules, knows what is right and wrong, and that knows that we're going to kick them off if they don't. So whether we have that contract or not, we're still going to deal with the yahoos that are up there.
We have had problems with stragglers and speed limits. They're putting these stickers on vehicles and quads and ATVs that say, that they're from the ranch and that they're supposed to be there.
Yeah, we have security issues, obviously. We have, a lot of property owners that, they have had problems in the past with and like I say, you can get those vandals. I'm not saying it's your group or anything like that. I'm sure it's not. But the other concerns are liability, absolutely. Times, dates and times, we try to minimize the impact to the members. As you can see, our discussion today is we're talking about how we manage the corporation and that's in discussion and whether, if it's a concessionaire that contracts with someone else, we just have to make sure we have controls in place that we can, the membership knows that we're, it's not just free will, everybody can do whatever they want. That there are controls and that there are possibly some revenue streams because obviously we maintain the roads.
Right.
We want to maintain, we want to make our roads even better, but that's all going to take money. So, as a possible revenue stream. And so these are things, and we welcome you here to our board meetings for, consideration and stuff. So, but that's, issues that we always talk about.
I think the last time we talked, we were saying to have them write up a contract, and we'd review it.
Well, actually, the first thing was what we're doing today is meet at this talk and
right.
See,
intentions.
Yeah, what your intentions are and how, and then now we have some idea. But it would be, you're right. If you were to enter in with us, with the board, is like, or as a concessionaire or as a provider, a contract that would, obviously we want to be covered liability-wise.
Sure.
you know, so.
Lance, tell us just a little about what you had talked to me about, you know, litter and some of your policies that you're running your company that way, and then so we move forward quickly. I want to say something.
We have a lot of permits. You know, we have the CNAP BLM field office permit. We have the Grand Staircase permit, Dixie permit, Kayabath permitting cliffs. So we've got permits. One of the things that we do is when, as we're riding along, we find trash, we jump off, pick it up. Just try to, you know, I mean, it helps us. You're taking clients that have paid money to come from Georgia or wherever to go up there, and they see trash along the road. It takes away from the experience. So that's some of the things that we do, that we would do as we cross the Up Meadow Canyon. And that's, that's the only road we take because it accesses the forest, mm-hmm. and we want to get up on top.
So let me just ask this, Lance. You tell me anything that I'm saying that you're not willing to do, and then we can add to it, just because we got to go through something and then get an actual contract if we want to move forward with it. But as far as an ATV concessionaire or something, if Anasazi Tours is it, that we would, you know, from DSROA, we'd have to have adequate insurance coverage, you know, have verification on an annual basis or something so that we,
you've
it's clear that you've got insurance
got
those, to,
right?
to cover your equipment and your riders.
What was that?
You've got $1 million insurance if you've got all those permits, right?
We've had to
follow
right. So whether we're named as an additional insured or at least have verification that that's
right.
in force.
Right.
Secondly, that you would agree to police your activities and any activities that you see. For example, you know, you regulate riders, honor a speed limit, keep two existing roads so they're not climbing hills, and then report violations, and I'm saying this more because it's the same thing in our hunting or anything else, that if he's out there in another area in his eyes and ears, that he's agreed and contracted that if he sees somebody cutting a fence, he gets up to the Deer Springs gate and he has a key to it because he's authorized to go through it, and somebody's up there cutting the fence where they've been going through, that he, you know, reports that back so that we don't then blame and say, oh, it was him, you know, and
right.
so that's
right.
something that's a benefit. As far as a compensation or fee, we had talked about a $5 per person rider through the ranch, or then something as far as a printed rate sheet or a discount rate on members if they do call, and you know whatever your existing
yeah.
thing is. If the members, if we put something we can put on the website as our preferred vendor in that area that they feel like in you know as an offset or something that you know you again work those into your fees that work. And then bonus is, again, removing litter and then, you know, Kane County Goodwill and working with local people that are here that are not members of the ranch. We've got this, something that is in the next 5 years is going to really grow unified and make Deer Springs a great place. Or I can explain some other things that we need to talk about where we've got a ton of members who are not Kane County residents, and we've got all the Kane County residents that live here and kind of use that area. We've got to try to find a way to protect the privacy and the use and stuff of the ranch, but still cooperate in that area and build, you know, some goodwill and stuff there. So when we're talking government entities and Kane County roads and stuff, everybody, when we talk to them, doesn't say, oh, Deer Springs, you know, I'm not, you know, Brent, there's a bunch of yahoos that live up there.
Two kinds of people up there.
So, I mean, those are a couple of bullet points. What are other things that people have said that we need to, you know, add to, if not then to rough out a simple contract or something that would outline.
Would it be easy to put, I know a lot of ATVs when they go to the sand dunes, they put that flag on the back. I don't know if I've seen them on your ATV.
When we send them to the sand dunes, we'll put on.
If it's possible, I mean, Fred Searle, you know, all these ATVs, you know, well, they're Anasazi. Well, there's going to be a lot of people, especially in the summertime, you know, what are all these ATVs doing up here? If there's some way to label it to where this is.
So, and that's what he is saying, and I visit with Fred, you know, now we've made a sticker for not only cars, trucks, but when you're down through the ranch and there's somebody fishing in the fish ponds, we've got to find a way, and that's what we're trying to rebuild now to regulate. Is this somebody poaching fish, or is this a member, or is this a friend of a member? And so if we have something, again, the tours that you do, and that was one thing that I had, that you know, we had talked about and put in there, the tours that you do are guided tours. So they will always have a professional staff member, so whether there's an insignia or flag. Now, if you rent them out or something, if there's a way to know, hey, if we see somebody dumping your four-wheeler off the cliff or riding in here, you know, that we know, hey, we ought to let Lance know that people are abusing this four-wheeler.
Four-wheeler number
if they weren't going to do their own or something, that's different. But
we can certainly, you know, we have a nice logo. We could get some stickers made up and sticker all of our machines with our Anasazi ATV logo.
Right.
So that it just it, walks by.
It's just less hassle for you because a lot of members are going to see.
Well, that would be an easier thing than putting our logo on those because then we know Anasazi, we know if there's a problem, who to report to or to document it.
And then we'll know who rented them, and we can tell you, well, so-and-so rented these machines from your ranch, and we gave them the discount, and we could track them down real quickly if there's problems. But that'd be very easy to do. And the vast majority, I mean, if we become the concessionaire and start vending to all of your people, then that's another thing. But right now, it's all guided. We shoot straight up the road, through the gate, and head up on.
And you have four-wheelers, and then you have some of the side-by-side rhino type. That because there's some of the ranch members that aren't going to be comfortable and jump on an ATV, but you know if they can have a steering wheel and then to drive some of the back roads or something that you know because they're up here in a rental car or something would be more appropriate.
4-inch numbers on 25, on 26, on 27.
Yeah. Fishing is my main weakness, but I think I can keep everybody else. But no, the. Our people, I mean, they're from elsewhere, and so they just follow us. They don't know anywhere to go out here, and we just straight up the road and up onto the...
In your literature, in your blurbs, do you have anything about Deer Springs Creek?
No.
If I had somebody call in and ask me some questions about an ATV tour through Deer Springs Creek, and I'm thinking it must be some other place in some other part of the nation.
Wilderness area.
They might have got a confused creek. Deer Springs Ranch.
Well, I think so. I just wondered if maybe you had... something in your literature about that, but I sent it to you anyway.
Oh.
You may have been thinking Wisconsin, but
but it's worked out. We've kind of worked, I know Zion Mountain Resort, they send a lot of their people to us, and we've given lots of rides and rented machines to the Zion Mountain, and it's worked out well. They've been glad to have that extra asset, you know, to steer their clients towards, so it's worked out well. Everything Ben has mentioned on that list, we are more grateful to.
So
we can be helpful.
Okay. So once again, if you want to bring up, do you want to motion that or just have
right ahead with what you were saying.
Well, I'm not going to make. Well, I'm just saying you still need to bring us with a proposal.
Okay.
Before we can make the motion, because we don't
know. Well, that's what I would propose is that we as a board would accept a proposal from you, and be able to consider it and make a decision rather than. Pass it from meeting to meeting.
Certainly.
How long would it take to get a proposal?
I can hope that together 5 years. Did you meet once a month?
Yes.
Vance, you have something you want to say?
No, it's we're getting some interference on the line. That's just.
I thought it might be.
Pay no attention, yeah.
Okay. Being new on the board, I have a question, and that is commercial ops are not currently allowed because of the bylaws. Is that true? But my point is that if we're going to go forward with this, we should make a motion, or somebody should be able to make a motion to change the bylaws to allow commercial ops.
Well, we can't change the bylaws without a vote of the people.
I know that, but we have to start. Yeah. We have to at least...
Good point. I mean, as far as a property owner, it's like you can't have a commercial business on your property.
We cannot have commercial operations. We couldn't build a McDonald's on the airstrip, or we're not going to allow any member to have a... something on their area, but you know we've had a cattle grazing lease. We've mined gravel off of it. I mean, those kind of uses that are in and across the that are not building structures or anything would meet with our current bylaws.
We like to have.
I don't see that this would conflict with our bylaws.
Yeah, that's not a violation of our existing bylaws.
Right.
What we're talking here,
gentlemen. One thing I'd like to add is that I think that a guided group of people on the ranch would be a heck of a lot more safe and controlled than just people coming up. And I think that's what a lot of us see is people come up poaching, if you will, trespassing with quads and doing their deeds. Some of them even carrying guns and even have been threatening to some of the members when they were questioned. But with a guided group such as this just isn't going to happen. And that would be a positive thing. It's these others out there that create the problem, and hopefully when we get our new management or how we're going to handle this, that would be controlled better. But this is a positive way to do it if we're going to allow guests on the ranch.
Lance, if you have a question on these or whatever, I don't know if you have something at Zion Mountain or any of, in your circles of a replica contract we could use or something, or we're going to try to, kind of provide some, because you may do this with other land owners in other areas or whatever. We'll make sure we can discover them.
I'll touch base with you and kind of get those notes so we've covered everything, and then I'll put something together, and then we can...
If you would, please include liability, too.
Okay.
Yeah, 100% liability. It's like the donkey. If anything happens on Deer Springs property, they will be named in a lawsuit. That liability is unacceptable. So,
right.
Something that would identify that.
Would make sure that you're.
There's no donkeys riding.
Right.
Not even rhinos are okay, but not donkeys, right?
We'll disconnect the horns.
In the meantime, you can give some of the information from your operation here in Kanab to them that they can have in the store.
I'd like to get a brochure or a handful of brochures and some business cards, maybe. I've got all kinds of brochures.
Yeah, that, and if you have anything electronic, if we can approve this, we'd want to put some stuff on our website so people, before they get here and stuff. Yeah,
maybe a link. We've got a fantastic website that's pretty good. It has a video on it.
I've seen them.
I've seen
it, yeah.
You could put a link,
I needed to get your phone number a while back, and I think that's where I got it off the website.
Was the website? Okay. What was your last name?
Southwest.
Okay, yeah. I got a message from Jonathan.
You can book his trip through your travel site. It's on your side.
You know why you do too?
But, and I can give you a DVD if you have a little TV and want to play it at the store or out of the ranch or what is it?
There's limited power there.
There's
TV in there.
Well, there's always those little portable ones. Well, thank you for your time. And
thank you.
I welcome you to come next meeting. We'll set the date. Ben will let you know.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Did you eat all the pancakes?
Okay.
I had a few.
Okay, back to Clarkson Properties Incorporated proposal. We're not going to, I think we just need to try to move forward with this. And we'll work, obviously the details are going to work out as we proceed. But if we keep tabling it and waiting for more discussion, we're never going to move forward.
True.
Okay, so... I'll make a motion that we move forward with these proposals, and that obviously we'll have to, like I said, we have to get together and go over these line items and work towards those ends. I don't know. It's kind of a broad proposal or motion, but you have provided us with quite a bit of information, and I think you have provided us with enough information that we can move forward. And I guess also to the motion would be to have Clarkson Properties Incorporated as a concessionaire management, and we've already identified at least a 2-year period, correct, of time that would be good for, with obviously renewability or...
Well, from my point of view, and again, today Dale said he's involved for a 2-year period, mm-hmm. which is critical. I think part of it, the benefit, is the system, not the person.
Right,
anyway,
no, I know.
If we build a system, once Dale decides to retire, then we would have a system, whether that, whether his company... but then we've got one. A lot of these decisions, just like the reseeding we're doing now, we've made up for 20 years of lost time, and brought that current. But also then the system, the decision. That's what we've got to work through. We're still, we're still chasing our tail on a few things because those that have been involved in the history of the ranch. We keep even on this referring to liability with the ATV. It's going to be a big issue with this contract or anything else. The donkey issue has been one of our smallest damaged or proper problems up there. Now, there, I agree with anybody. There's no such thing as no liability or perfect world. That doesn't exist. However, I read the contract for the Desert Fox race that went on the first time that they were up there. Multiple times, we have life-flighted people in horrific accidents with broken ribs, punctured lungs, life-threatening things. DSROA has never lost one penny or 1 hour over any of those that were done properly. It was the lack of the donkey and the person owning the donkey and stuff that we let inside of our protective circle instead of having them on a contract on the outside. And so that's the key here, whether it's ATVs or anything else, as long as we have those contracts and have it understood up front, then we won't have a problem. I mean, people are going to get hurt. People are going to do dumb things. There's going to be crazy circumstances.
Yeah. People get life-flighted out of Lake Powell.
But, you know, but most most members, I just say it, because most members don't know about, you know, kids going through barbed wire fences on motorcycles. They don't know about some of these collisions that have happened. And that's good. It's not their problem. It's not their worry. They don't need to worry about it. Those were ones, though, that were taken care of properly. So I would still rather see us do more of this stuff under a contract where the overall protection and somebody that's going to pay attention. Because if you're paying attention, you reduce the liability. Bottom line, though, the board, it cannot pay attention to everything going on. And so we shouldn't have
that's
the liability.
Yeah.
Good point. If you should go this other direction, are you going to continue to pay $6,000 for liability protection and the question, the concessionaire or management company pay another $6,000 or $10,000?
No, I would say if we do this, I would like to go back to our insurance company and have that rewritten to explain. You know, because right now, the biggest cost on our bill policy is because we've had horse rides. But if we say we do not have horse rides, we do not are not involved in the horse rides, that is covered, and here's the insurance number of our concessionaire who may or may not, whether it's, you know, Mel Heaton ran the horse rides at Deer Springs for years. So he knows the ranch and was involved in the early days. Or the other concessionaire. There's a couple here that runs all the horse rides of the North Rim, the Grand Canyon, these people that would possibly, again, whether it's the board or them, we've proven horse rides 7 days a week will never pay. 90% of the rides that are taken, I think, have been on a Friday afternoon or a Saturday morning when people show up at the ranch, they go on their one horse ride. A lot of our members are gone by Monday, you know. And so to have them bring up a trailer full, a large trailer full of enough horses 1 day a week and put that in the rotation of their other things is something that can be done. However, I would rather somebody day to day, Monday, start making those phone calls to put that together so we do provide the horse rides that the members want and deserve and need. But I, as a board member, am not going to be on that phone Monday. He can. You know, even this ATV thing, you know, it's when the contract comes in. If we don't move forward, we could contract on ATVs. I would still prefer that the management company contract with the ATVs. Then there's two levels of liability before it gets DSROA. We oversee the overall picture. We have somebody to say, Clarkson Properties, we got ATVers running around. Whoever you got running ATVs, you better get a hold of them or cancel their contract or we're canceling yours. But he is still, you know, doing an ATV contract and some of those things.
Well,
that's an example.
I was going to bring that up. You guys are contracting with Jackson on these things, then I don't need to worry about it.
Well, we haven't established that.
You know, the world's still turning, and so we're kind of running parallel tracks here. Before, again, they're not going to do anything until April, you know, so we've got a little time, but before that happens, the ideal thing and the logical thing is that there's an overall management contract that, you know, you would still say, hey, I've got an ATV company. What are some guidelines? Then there's a forum for board and some member input. There's a Fred Searle that's has had some bad experiences with ATVs to say, hey, I'd like to see this put in the contract. That would sure save me a lot of headache. Those are things that then can be made sure to be put in that. And it all works.
I'd like to modify my motion and that. I would like to proceed forward in the development of having you provide a management company or vehicle, however you want to describe it, concessionaire or whatever, to Deer Springs Ranch, and with board oversight.
Can I get anyone to add? Is that
for approval?
Hmm?
For approval?
That's my motion.
This motion, I'll second.
Motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I think it was John Harris.
John Harris.
John Harris.
I'm sorry.
John Harris.
Any opposed?
Okay. So a timeline on that. We've been working at somewhat of a. I mean, I know on
motion carried.
Yeah, we're working on a 2-year period on this right now.
Right.
No, nobody disagrees.
We had no opposition. Any abstentions? I'm sorry. Was there any that abstained?
I didn't commit anything to it. I pretty much what we had discussed, I go along with. I just didn't say aye at the time. So.
Okay.
And I didn't hear Dustin say it.
Dustin, did you have a vote on that? No reply for Dustin. He may not be on. It's been over 3 hours. Okay, at this point, the motion has carried. We're going to proceed with your proposal. Obviously, we have to work closely together to implement and move forward with this project. I would like to take a 15-minute break, if that's okay. Do you want any comment, Dale? Or anyone else? Any comment on that? I'm sorry.
Do you have other things?
Oh, yeah. We've got many other things to cover today. We got a budget to nail down.
Okay, I've got...
sort of proposed, you know, a preliminary budget.
This is the first meeting I've ever been through that I haven't actually fallen asleep.
Hey!
That's a good thing. I think you guys are moving ahead in the right direction. I've talked extensively with Dale. I'm comfortable with many of the things that are going on here. I think you guys are moving in the right direction. I think you should all pat yourselves on the back. Finally, a decision. Now, I can help you really streamline these meetings. You need to let me give you a hand with that. We'll talk about that in the next meeting, okay? Just a couple of observations here. The first one is that when Ben took his hair off, I realized that Larry is wearing a toupee. He couldn't possibly have hair. There's no one more protective of his privacy than me. I love the hermit lifestyle, okay? I don't see any threat from any of the suggestions that are coming up here, okay? Properly managed, conditional use permits. We either have one or two choices here. We can either manage our future or we can mismanage it. I've said all along, let's manage it, okay? If I'm not concerned, no one should be concerned, okay? The farming operation, I've got more acreage for you guys. I think we ought to turn over to them next year. And I believe in this thing. I think it looks great. I think in the spring, there isn't any that is not going to come out there and just be blown away on how great that place looks as compared to the way it looks now, okay? We need a weed burner. Okay. That's something you guys need to put in your budget. And other than that, I got things to do. So have a good day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, let's take a 15-minute break. Okay. We're gonna go ahead and reconvene the meeting here at Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. And we're basically on the agenda. We're at the budget consideration. Not going to be an approval. Obviously, we're not there yet. This is a preliminary budget, but we do. We will be able to operate, continue to operate through this year. And, you know, okay, we're going to excuse Paul and Ed to get on back to the ranch. Okay. Okay, what I've put together, and this is just a preliminary budget. I've looked at our current budget and categories, and I've taken those and looked at them and put down some initial figures.
that we could operate with. What I will do with this preliminary, and I will email it to all the board members today. When I get home, I will email it out. Basically, I just took the categories that we currently have and made some adjustments.
I propose we refine some of those categories, like separating trash and telephone.
I did that.
Okay, good.
This is preliminary, and we need to look at and see where new proposals and fine-tuning it even further. Current assessments are right at $121,000. This is ordinary income.
That's how much per
room? It's at
427 or something.
Per lot.
34.
Per lot. And, probably the biggest thing that we want to do right now is, like Ben mentioned to me, is we want to figure out what our separate.
I don't think that we can approve a budget. We're making big enough changes at the ranch over what's happened in the last few years or generation to really scrutinize and go through this and dovetail it in with the management contract. But as far as the assessment, that needs to be notified out this month because some people are budgeting and planning to start paying January 1st. That's got to be paid by the end of February, and so I think it's unfair to push that out. Our payroll and some of those things that will be in January and February are already set, and so I think we've got some time to work through this. I was curious because, again, I've been interested in looking at some reduction. I would like the members to know that we are committed as a board to working with the contract or ourselves to stretch the money. I think that there's been certain frivolous spent or gone away just because of mismanagement. We can't allow that, but I was curious, 300 lots at $25, that's $7,500. And it's great at the end of the year to have $7,500, one chunk to take care of one nice little project or something. And so I was just curious if I don't know where we ever came up with 434.
We came up with that because it was 2 years. We didn't increase last year, but the year before it was the percentage that the board is allowing per annum. That was the percentage.
So we went the max allowable.
I believe we did at that time.
I don't know that
was 2 years ago.
Bylaws, there is a limit.
Yeah.
9% or 10%, something around there. 10%.
5% each year, or a maximum of 10.
Ten was the top. Yeah.
Well, again, I
just doing an increase. I don't. We need the stewards. Last year, we were faced with a lot of infrastructure problems. Fuel costs and everything else has just got around. Not that that's not going to happen again. Great capacity here. I don't know about people. Unless we don't, then we can't
decrease it. All we're doing is taking money that we could put into infrastructure and better improvements now, and we're going to be increasing further in future. So I'm not sure that a decrease.
Yeah. I would still be with it as they are.
As is.
But
the $400 is fair, $434 for a year. I'd like to double it, but.
Just a second. I have a concealed carry permit.
Well, it's just me.
For a Leatherman.
I'm just,
Let me pull those nose hairs out.
Are they showing again?
No.
Well, I wanted to discuss that. Oh, is that a motion?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, keep it as is.
Second? I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye. You guys still online?
John, are you still there?
I think John's making knives. Hello?
Who is still on our teleconference?
John, I'm here. I was just getting ready to interrupt you and ask whoever's working on the tabletop along with their phone is really coming through your keyboard, your writing, your everything.
That's not over here.
We think John's making a knife.
Hey, folks, this is Mike Duvall, and I have to leave now. May I just say a thing or two real quick?
Yes, go right ahead, Mike.
First of all, and I know I can't speak for all the members of the ranch, and I've only been there a fraction of the time most of you, but we really love Deer Springs. We're going to make it a permanent part of our future. Our home is for sale. We're going to be moving there as soon as our home sells and building a new home and a new barn, and that's where we're going to live for hopefully many, many years. So I just want you to know that we appreciate everything that each and every one of you does. It's thankless work most of the time. I've been on boards. I understand the complexities. It's very, very challenging, and the work that you're doing is, I believe, monumental. I think it's important to the vision and the future of the ranch, and I'm really, really edified to listen to all of you working together the way you have today. And as I hang up this phone, I'll be sharing, you know, as much of the meeting as I can with my wife who couldn't be on the call, but a sincere, sincere thank you to each and every one of you. And when we get down there, you guys can, you know, I'll have to still work, so I won't be retired, but you can put us to work in any way that we can help. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, appreciate you all. See you down at the ranch.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Well, the motion carries. We have, you know, four yeas and no nays. So with that, we'll send out an assessment without a fully detailed budget.
Correct.
With
the notation that we are in, you know, it will be complete by the next meeting, correct?
Yeah.
Is that good? I think that's good. Okay.
Okay. So I can send out the assessments with this little note that I put on
yes.
the top of your deal and
yeah.
that's it. And we'll send out another mailing next month.
And I question, do we want to spend a postage? Can we post it on the website? Email everybody? You know, maybe once we have the phone.
I don't.
Right. I wouldn't spend the postage to send it out twice. If it's a little delayed, those that want to know are going to maybe call or check the website. The rest of them are saying, hey,
now,
I'm happy to not see you.
With this posting, I mean, obviously, with Dale's presentation, and it's recommended, and I do believe we need to get, you know, maybe not a full newsletter, but something with this news. This is newsworthy.
Well, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
What we're doing now, okay,
yeah.
with the management concept
right.
and what we're moving forward with, this is definitely people need to be made aware of it just to keep them up to speed.
I would
not feel like they're left out.
I would like to work between now and January, hopefully in January, to have a solidified budget and a contract. And in January, we sent out a newsletter in October.
We did.
So that's the first month of the fourth quarter. The first month of the first quarter would be January. Sometime in January, then after the next meeting, to send out something with the photographs and a write-up on the improvements, the budget, and use that postage the one time.
How much is the postage if you send out a December letter? I think the bylaws requires you to send out a budget.
I was just going
to
ask you that. Yeah,
and
is it
a newsletter in December. Is that $100, $200?
$300,
$400. It's expensive. Okay, I'm going to do it.
I mean, the postage is $150 for 300 mailings.
Right.
You know, the postage envelope alone is
we end up with about
$230
mailings.
And then, the mailer itself.
But the printing, she just had the figure for the printing of the last one.
That was 17.
I just think that if you're going to get dues to start coming in January,
we were going to send out the assessment, you know. Then, but why would you know?
Just like the budget.
Well, initially to,
and then send another newsletter next.
I would. that's my vote. I'm telling you, well, I wouldn't waste the time. I don't think there's any legal obligation to send out a budget. We have to send an assessment.
No, but we need to send them a newsletter.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Any way we can cobble it together and send it with the assessment? People will not ignore that.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. We'll have to at least let them know what we're doing with the management proposal. We need to get that up. Maybe it's not a full newsletter.
No, it doesn't have to be. But you're mailing the assessments anyway, okay?
We'll put something together.
Well, we can just write
it. It won't be the budget. The budget will go online. They don't need to receive the budget by the mail.
Well, maybe we just do a one page.
That's just postage.
About $100.
Yep.
Well, if we did a one page that we didn't put in envelopes, we just triple fold it over.
That's what I did.
And stamped it, what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and write it with, kind of a summary update, just to let people be aware of where we're at in bold letters, one thing to set the.
Where we're moving.
Right. And then one bold thing announce the assessment and that those are due and that as soon as we have the, details of the things and the budget will be posted on the website.
Can we get away with that, Dale?
We have to weigh it and say, how much can we send?
Well,
43 cents and send. There's that much information, I think, available.
Yeah.
To send whatever you can send for 43 cents.
I can send two papers for 42 cents.
Yeah, anymore with the change of the rate. We could maybe put a second sheet in there, maybe with some photographs or.
Four sides.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
One side is going to just be your address, though.
A third of the back page has got to be the fold over.
Got to be the fold over.
Well, do you think that you have enough stuff that that you could help provide in the next week or so to put that together?
You've got all I've got right now.
You want me to put something together?
Well,
I'll run it by you, and then that way you know that we've covered the important things.
I think four pages is justified.
I think a general, a review of taking the things, the presentation,
the
some of the pictures
bill.
That he has electronically and all that. If we can do that, great. So we don't need the full budget because we don't have that, but to send.
I've got an envelope. I've got one page of assessment. I can put another page of a newsletter, two sides on it, in there. Two full sides of information.
You're doing an envelope, not triple
folded. Well, for assessment, yeah, it's 42 cents. That'll cover it. When I get three papers in there, then it starts to creep up.
I don't understand the assessment.
The bill for
you print off an invoice.
Yeah.
Okay.
What if it's just a paragraph?
Well, that's the thing is, if you say in the newsletter. Assessments are $434. Send it to us. I don't even think we need to send them a self-addressed stamped envelope. I know that you can, and we have a lot of times printed off an invoice.
Yeah. They're all stuffed and
we probably
them.
Will get better payment that
too.
Way.
Yeah.
Not stamps on the return envelope. We stopped doing that when I started.
But you have an envelope that's stamped and one sheet ready to go.
I have your envelope with the – I don't put a stamp on yours. I have your envelope with your address already on it with a return envelope in it already. It's all ready to go on everybody.
Okay. So you can have two pages plus a return envelope for 42 cents?
Yes.
Okay. So in that parameter, then you know what else we can put in there, and we'll fold
just
them.
Just one full page.
Okay. I'll put them together. I'll email everyone.
Okay.
So get the final approval, and then we'll do it.
I think on your paper there ought to be something on there. If you want to be fully informed, you need to go to our website. Because we're trying to get away from as much paper.
That's one thing. In this day and age, I would like to see in the bylaws.
That's right. Change
that we change the bylaws. That there's some of the things that
That's update. Part of the management proposal is to look at the bylaws and make recommendations that we could approve.
That's why I've gone to some
to the
online
to
banking.
Right.
A lot less postage and paper to pay.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we don't necessarily need to go through this.
General, I did have a question.
A question for you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I remember something coming up in a meeting. The rhino has to be paid for this year. Is that?
First of next year.
Within the first month.
Okay.
That was our agreement with.
3,000.
Okay. That's all I have.
That rhino's cost us.
Okay, if we're not going to go, here's a couple of questions that I, if you, in order to get into budgeting, you've got down here 121,000 assessment. Linda saying based on this, it should be 130,000. How are we doing, and what is the current process of collecting back due assessments?
Oh, are you including the back dues?
No, if we got an assessment from everybody.
434 times 300 or 305 is what?
300 because we have four deer springs lots. It's 130,200. So
I just went off the whatever you had on the budget.
Well,
She underdid it.
They did knowing that they're not all going to come in. But we already have $10,000 of back due possibly from last year. I don't know.
This is something that...
We've got five, that you, I think, that are...
At what stage of collection are we into?
Some of them have paid, but there's some that refuse to. So, and you've talked to one of those that hung up on you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Has the board the last 2 years followed the bylaws and start, you know, and we had some rules.
We had to do a lien on.
That as far as January 1st, those that didn't pay in 08
or 07
are late and should accrue interest. If they're
they're all accruing interest.
Okay, but if they're from 07, then usually then there was a lien put against it just to guarantee that if it was sold that we wouldn't be some.
Yeah, but we still have to refile on that lien because every year it gets an additional fee, right? Or
file a lien one time and then they've got to
add on.
If they want to pay it off or clear the lien, then they ask for an updated amount, and at that time you just calculate what the accrued interest.
Right. Yeah. So are we up to date on our liens?
I think we collected on two of them.
Okay.
In QuickBooks should have a...
This is something Shauna can do. She's the treasurer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but in QuickBooks, do we have a line item on our balance sheet? And I don't know that we got... Did we get a balance sheet? You and I need to meet and go over this because obviously Shauna didn't this last month. And so we had talked about this month being a balance sheet that would show us, you know, how much is in the... You know, if we had a balance sheet as of yesterday, it would say cash in the bank, how much is there, and on that would have, you know, open accounts receivable, how much, there would be a back due assessment that would have X dollars right now of back due assessment.
Right. So we didn't get
But is that in the, even in the computer?
There's things in there that I don't know are there. I'll look for it.
Well, I guess if Barbara set this up.
She did.
Okay, so Barbara would have known because you're printing the invoice. Last year, the invoices were printed off there.
Yes.
And if I pay mine, it posts back against my invoice. If it's not paid,
it's not in
a to be paid category. And if that total should reflect, this is how much you can set up to accrue interest every month.
That's how we got
automatically,
that.
Or if we just do it at the end of the year by hand, kind of calculate.
I have been doing it by hand. Line item.
Well,
what
it would
calling
be.
It?
It would be a AR, accounts receivable.
I just took some of the
in a
I adjust
short-term
some of those.
Asset account.
I'll go over those in more detail. They're not currently what we have for this year. Not all of them. Because I was trying to figure out where we should.
I can show you.
Pay as much.
Either get on yours or if you
like
want to my office,
like
I can show you my
way over and fuel.
I mean, you're obviously navigating around the profit and loss statement. That report right next to it is the balance sheet report. I don't know if you're very familiar with that.
I've gone into, you know, and I do. I tool around just like I do in the back country, you know, but I haven't been, it hasn't been requested. So, these are the balance sheet, so I did print that out.
Yeah, if you compare this preliminary budget that I have put together, it's different than what we had for this year because I was looking at things where I thought we, you know, wouldn't have that additional expense. Like, I think auto this year was $12,000. So I went $6,000.
Right. No, I didn't care what we got to try to cut that.
Is
this at all the format last year? It's
pretty much the same format. There's a
I would just like to see what, if we knew what these were for last year, would
I have it right here.
1,000 times more.
Yeah.
Even if we just go through quickly and I hand write out the side.
That could be, I could do that.
Last budget.
07. Or no, it'd be 08 budgets.
It's right here.
Okay. On the one that Linda handed out that says December.
Yeah,
that's it. That's it right there.
Last year's cash flow, the budget.
Year to date.
Okay. Well, I can study through that, and then that's, yeah, it's right here.
Auto up to $20,000.
Yeah, was it all the way up to
20,000? Yeah, it was
a special. So, but, oh, here's your day. Okay. 12,000?
That's what we spent.
So, year to date budget in 08, we budgeted 12,000 and we spent 19,900.
Well, the budget is 6,000.
Originally in a year, and then they raised it in what, June? When did
we get
it?
Well, we had to redo the budget because it was just what we should have just gone over, and I don't know what we didn't really need to redo it. We just went over.
And that's where it's if you have a budget is an annual budget for an annual budget,
yeah.
And some government entities start hiding money by redoing it, but it's misleading, and I don't think it's a good idea on ours because I'd rather see us. We went over, and we learned from it, and we rebudget. If we start changing numbers, then,
But they did. They changed it in the middle of the year.
Okay, where's my paperwork now? Okay, so income, well, obviously we know where it should be at, what, 130? What?
You have this, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
That answers.
The possibility is 130-20, or 200, 132-200. That's the possible, but she set it back at 121 because that was more reasonable.
Well, let's go where we should be. And then, we fall.
But then the possibility is if we go over budget, then we're dead. With this 121, then we've got a $4,000, $5,000 cushion. So
usually you don't budget all of your income. We know our income could be $130,000. We should budget what's coming in. But by approving the budget, have that ear tagged or whatever to go into a fund balance or a savings account or a carryover thing, and it shouldn't go down every year
fund or something like that. Yeah,
because
124 this year.
So what?
Yeah, we got 124,500 this year is what we ended up collecting on assessment.
Okay,
should we use that as the? Because
I'd say
125,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Building facilities and assessment income. I think we had 2,000 was the budget, and I left that at 2,000.
Okay.
Cabin reservations. Reservations. We budgeted it from 3,000. We got 4,000.
Some of this also reflects what is for.
I left it at 3,000.
Okay, we're on cabin reservation.
Yeah, they don't all fit the same.
Okay.
There's some of the things, I didn't feel this is all zeroed out. And I don't know, I understand why the board never there. Cabin rentals at a different place.
Cabin rentals is people that rent to
you
the cabin.
You had non-member
cabin, cabin rentals. Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
They're not necessarily non-member cabin rentals. They are cabin rentals that people, like, maybe stay two or three extra days after
up,
like we went up last week. And
we budgeted zero, and we got $1,400.
Right.
So I still say zero.
Right.
Okay. Cabin reservations, I left the 3,000. We got 4,000. There's further down on this here, there's a reservation piece on here. Okay. As far as fish, I didn't put anything in there. Horse, no. Livestock, cattle, nothing. Because we don't have any right now. Right?
Right.
And that would be something.
Next year.
We will buy fish.
As far as income, we had $30.
These are
we had $30 for income.
These are all income items.
Still income. Non-factor. Store sales at $1,000. But then that just offsets our.
We ended up getting $1,000 more, actually. I talked to Nancy last week. What we've done, and it's going to go into the book this week. I didn't get it in before I printed this off, is that a lot of the store sales come in at nickels and dimes. She's using that for laundry, and I'm putting it in the budget to show and reflect that the money is, but she's keeping the money to do laundry, and they're going to be doing a lot this winter to clean all of the bedspreads and things like that. So,
well, here's one thing that, again, some of you guys were around in the old days, and I understand things where we did horse rides or had fish and money. Well, I just, we've got to account for money. So if they, she made store money, I'm not saying all the time, but at least here at the end of the year, that needs to be accounted, deposited, and rewritten so that it forces a paper trail to know what it is.
Oh, absolutely. It just didn't get put into this one
yet.
Because this isn't the end of the year.
Right. So basically, we've got, right, so we've got store sales. We budgeted 800. We have 1,100. You're saying there's another 1,000. And that's what, I'm just referring to some of these by rough numbers. I'll pull it out. But when I made the budget in 1997, 98, you know, 10 years ago, you know, at that time we were making $2,500 off the store. Some of those things, there's no reason that we're making less today than we were 10 years ago.
Well, are we really making any money?
Well, no, we were. It's easy.
Just paying for what we put in there?
No, we made money. It's easy to go to Costco and buy a box of Snicker bars, and if you penny it out, then they're 23 cents a bar, and you sell them for 50 cents or a dollar, and you know, any of the soda pop stuff you do, that should be, today, that should be a $5,000 income generating. The only reason it wasn't then, and I don't know how it's where it run this season, is because the store was out of stuff most of the time, and I didn't, you know, getting bread and stuff is not good. But those things that can be kept in the fridge, especially soda pops, candy bars, we could make $10,000 a year easy.
She will.
You know,
she will. We've talked about that, actually. And, of course,
yeah,
they
but
came
we,
on
like the accountability, though, even though it comes in as pennies and nickels and dimes or whatever, we still need to have that full accounting.
Right.
And
she is, but she just didn't during this month.
They,
so monthly or something.
They started six and a half months ago. And it took them a couple of months to figure out how this everything works, you know. So really what this store sales is reflecting, you know, is July, September, and from there on, which most of our business is at the beginning of the year. So this isn't a true representation of 2008 store sales. And, of course, in 2007, we had zilch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this is a definite improvement, and I have all...
And with the concessionaire, you know, maybe they'll bring in stuff, and, you know...
Right. Well, there's a lot of things, but I think to have that... But if we did almost 2,500 this year, we ought to at least put that in the next year or even double it. You know, I think that $5,000 for net income from the store is very reasonable.
I agree. And Nancy is looking to do that.
Looking at, what, 2,500?
I would even put 5,000 in there.
5,000, that's our goal. Okay. All right.
Well, let's go through some of these expenses. That's where I'm curious because I think, again, so much of the income is going to be based on you know, how we're doing that or what we're doing. There's something just to get my head around this and start really, you know, thinking for this next month to put this together.
Did you mark off cattle sales and cattle leasing?
Yes. Yeah, we didn't put anything in.
$3,000 on leasing also?
Yes.
Well, what was the $3,000 cattle leasing?
Robinson.
Well, what's that different than that's the grazing?
Grazing is what we pay to BLM. Leasing is what they pay
to
us.
Preliminary income, we have $140,500. You know, obviously, that's preliminary. Now, what happens to our water system? We're supposed to have people paying into the water system.
I asked Sean to help me with that because I'm totally oblivious to how all that is working, and I didn't get a clear picture from Barbara, and I don't.
I know it's under donations, but that's fine.
I know that I need to understand better, like Rod Johnson has a payment that he's supposed to make to us, and that was my plan to put it in with this letter going out for assessment, but I don't know how that all is working. So,
obviously it's not working.
Well, the ranch headquarters system that people have paid in or committed or paid half, or I don't know if Mike Duvall is planning on hooking into that when he moves down here. I worked with one lot owner there that I think had paid for half of a fee. We've got to get ahead of that because what it was then, people are going to start demanding stuff that we can't provide, and they've already paid for it, or they've paid half of a fee that was only half of what it should have been to begin with because the board said, oh, sure, we can buy some plastic pipe and throw it out there. That's one thing that could end up really being a big drain to the ranches if we have people start demanding flowing water. So,
and that's maybe one of the reasons why we haven't pushed it to the water, the tank, the storage, and but if we don't have money coming into the system, we're not going to be able to make repairs to the system.
There was one hookup, McElroy's, I think, hooked up this year, and last
yeah.
I heard they're not online, but they are hooked up to get water.
To get water, okay.
And
I mean,
it's
still, we still provide water, still provides water, but there, you know, it, we just need to.
I need help with this.
Clean up and paint the tanks. Okay.
With that one item,
okay.
I definitely need
well, we'll
help.
Look, we need to look into that.
Hey, John.
Yes, Ben.
There's a written policy. I have it because it was offered to me when we bought in 04
right.
Regarding what the charges are on the water system and how it all works. If you guys can't dig it up, I'll email it to you.
I'm sure it's available. I'll contact you, Vance, if I need that.
Okay.
Vance, do you have it electronically?
I'll have to look, Ben. I may have to scan it in. I really don't remember. I think it came to me on paper, but you know, Barbara may have also emailed it to me.
Well, if you do it, and if you can, just email it to the board.
Yeah okay. It was a single-sided piece of paper with connection costs and how much it would be per month and what it would be in addition if you went over a certain amount of gallonage, you know, yada, yada.
Well, in budgeting, there are several things that I still haven't been able to find a copy of that, the Brent Robinson cattle grazing lease, a copy of the lease that was on Ole's goats.
I have those.
Okay. I need a copy. Okay. I would like to see where we've been and what we're on those.
Okay. I have those. Thank you for reminding me. I'll get them to you. I am with you today. Out of expense. Now that's okay. I got total income projected for $140,500. Now expenses. Auto. We budgeted $12,000 last year, and we went over by $8,000.
And we got $3,000 right off the top for the rhino.
And we got
$3,000
well, yeah,
right off the top.
Yeah. We got $3,000 off the top, but I only put in $6,000. But, you know, I don't think we should have that many auto expenses. They all have good tires on it now. You running okay?
Well, again, I'm looking through because that doesn't include fuel.
Well, the
it
fuel's
does.
Another.
This
fuel.
Is diesel. That's red dye diesel.
Oh, the
right, but this auto expense is not
it
buying
fuel.
It,
and not, I think that's one thing.
So we need to go back
it.
Up to 12. Okay, well, let's separate auto. Well,
is that buying a couple of new pickups? What? 19,
we rebuilt an engine on a Chevy. We bought a Rhino. We did
all kinds
of.
Well, Ole had work done on his. No,
at
the beginning
yet.
Of the year, I think
he
had worked on his vehicle, too.
As the new one, and Ed, you probably don't know. I mean, back up. The truck that Brayton's drove away today, do they own it or do we own it?
I don't know. What
is
they
it
were.
Steak size?
Is it the steak size?
Deer Springs.
That's a Deer Springs
run,
truck.
Yeah. One-ton dually flatbed truck.
Yeah.
They're driving today. Deer Springs owns it.
Okay, so we own that truck. And then what else do we own?
The white van.
Another pickup truck. Was it
Gray Ford?
Gray Ford.
I don't know if it's even parked out back and ranch out.
That was the old Beckstead truck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a van that was donated by Ken Lent.
We didn't buy, but we have it registered.
Are they using it?
Not right now.
When we got it from Ken, it was working and operational, and then now I don't think it's working anymore. I wouldn't want to put any money into it. Neither is that. No. That expense. Some of that is for the rhino.
We paid a dollar for that then.
Yeah.
So the rhino, we still owe $3,000.
Yeah,
we've already paid $4,000. Okay.
Yeah. There was a lot of other.
You bought tires.
Well, they replaced an engine.
In the truck,
the GMC. They replaced an engine in that, and there was a lot of other work. I'm not sure if it was this year or it was last year for the brakes and all that. Larry, do you remember?
At the beginning of the year, we did a lot of
last
that.
Was that
the brakes and stuff last year? The year before? Yeah, last year.
And we paid, out of this bill that was for this year on auto expense, we paid usage on the truck.
Is
for
the fuel in that, too?
Yes, it is.
The fuel was in that.
At $3.80 a gallon.
The fuel is in that also.
That's why I want to separate that.
We need to separate the fuel cost from the auto cost. So the fuel's in there, and that was... It was
she have
it.
I got
it.
Have
it. Yes, it was.
And that's why, it'll break down further than this probably.
When we first started doing this, I thought that that non-road fuel, non-road, I thought that was all the fuel, and then I went back and corrected it. But that made me think that the fuel
We went through a lot of fuel at the beginning of the year, a lot of fuel, because it seems like Ole was traveling back and forth to his place and all over, I don't know.
Yes.
Picking up all kinds of stuff.
So the vehicles we own now, are they diesel, the one ton? So we've run all gas, so it'll be easy to say all of our vehicles are gas. The only red diesel is going in the tractor.
Going in the tractor, right.
And the generator.
Right.
And the generator, right.
And I'm going to separate auto expenses.
The Kubota, the grader, and the generator. That's where the non-road use stuff goes.
I thought that this non-road, fuel non-road use meant that they used the gasoline out of the tank to work on the ranch, not to go to. The regular gasoline.
That's non-ranch use.
You guys explained that to me.
Well, usually you have.
But I thought that meant that we don't pay for their gas to go into Costco and stuff like that, but we are.
Not if they're using their own personal vehicle. We don't.
Yeah, the Braytons have a personal vehicle.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Usually you would have auto expense as a category. Underneath you would have fuel, and under fuel you'd have a category that's unleaded gas and red diesel. And then it's easy when the invoice comes to keep red diesel and unleaded separate, but they would always show separated out on this.
That's the way I want to set it up now that I understand all this. But this is the way Barbara set it up, and she's
talking
about history.
So how much do you
want
to put in fuel? Well, we don't need to do that.
We
don't need to keep it the same.
That's why I'm changing it.
Changing things, right?
Yes!
Okay, so auto at 6,000. I don't even think we're going to, we're not buying any more autos. We're not,
as far as maintenance, grease, oil changes comes out of right now?
That's
the
auto.
Everything.
Okay. So that's
tires. Everything.
So that can be even reduced to like 2,000.
That's a good four.
Well, that's still five because we got three we owe on the Rhino and two more. So let's cut that 6 to 5, and that's probably as far as we're going
to
go.
Okay. All right. Now we need to make another category: fuel.
Yeah, road use. Fuel road use.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuel should be road and non-road.
Road.
And I would just name them that.
Can I just put non-lead rather than...
No. No, I don't know,
Katie. Unleaded and diesel?
Yes, unleaded and red diesel.
That's what I meant.
That's what I would call them.
Okay, there you go.
Unleaded and diesel.
I like that. Unleaded.
Is there any requirement for them to register use? I mean, Okay.
Okay. And how much fuel?
I think he had the book here with him today, and if we ask...
How much unleaded
for a review
fuel?
On what he's
think, unleaded fuel. What do you think is a reasonable amount of fuel that they would use in a month's time times 12?
Are we going to use it as we have been using it? Will that be the same as we don't?
As we're currently using it.
So unleaded. So last year, where was unleaded, though, in this budget? It was in auto expense, so we're breaking that out.
Yeah, we're breaking it out.
If they're taking the red truck to town a lot, that uses a lot of fuel. If they're taking
they
should
only be coming
own,
into town for ranch business one time a week.
What I mean a lot is by through the year. If we're talking about using their own vehicles, then like going on down to St. George, to Costco, and get things, the supplies for the ranch and things like that,
They shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Because if they need something from Costco
for
the ranch, they can call a member who's coming up through St. George, pick that stuff up on the way. Or call me or Barbara or someone that lives in the area.
And they need a process or procedures.
We've got, and this is something that's always very difficult to regulate as to whether they're driving their truck to town or they're driving, I'm not saying anything against the Braytons, or they're driving their car to town that filled up on DSROA fuel. I'm telling you, the last 20 years, we've filled the tank and it's been gone, and no idea of where it really went or whatever. But I agree.
We've
got to have a mileage log.
That's where Paul says he has a mileage log and he has a usage. I mean, on when he draws out of that, he's got to account for how many gallons he's taken out. I don't know. I'm sure about those mileage losses.
We get him to review that at our next meeting.
Okay.
Well, I think somebody's got to review it. We've got to approve this next meeting. I think that we need still a system for him to review it with somebody. And that's one thing. If he was checking with somebody in Kanab weekly, it's then easy to say he drove a personal car and then he's going to run some personal errands, or he brought the ranch truck on that once a week meeting. But
there's no reason that if he's running the ranch truck once a week because they got to do laundry or something like that, that he can't do personal errands too while he's there.
I agree.
But, obviously you got to limit.
They're coming in on Wednesdays to do whatever laundry needs to be done, to shop for supplies,
right,
things that they
need.
Are
they bringing the trash in now? The trash trailer.
They do that about every.
They don't do it as often.
No,
they try to pack it in.
But once a month, if we got four trips a month, and one is a trash trip in and out, you're not hauling laundry with trash usually, or sometimes they fill the trash trailer because it's bagged and cleaned in the empty trash trailer going back out. But if they regulate that, I agree. Whatever's running around on the ranch, again, we're going to cut that way back on fuel and stuff because it's going to be more a lot of the Rhino.
Right. And that was the reason
we got secondly, one trip to Kanab per week for a month, any beyond that, I think that ranch mileage is unauthorized use to rent. I will volunteer whatever needs to be bought for the store at Costco. I go often enough that I can have it here. And, we order that bulk kind of stuff or whatever. I agree.
To
but
make
that's
that
where
efficient,
we,
then you ha- you'll have to set up a system with him because, we get toilet paper, we get paper towels, and all of that stuff.
Are these areas that we could just defer to the management company?
Absolutely.
they'll need to get an initial, thing going here.
Not if you're going to supervise
the budget.
Individual, then you got to supervise their budget. My proposal was, I think it all has to be under one head to eliminate the aggravations and the confusion. Not that I want it by any means.
Then when you're streamlining of management, which you said, how do you see that, because how do you see that working with the break?
Well, to take the ranch truck and the ranch gas to bring your personal meat into the meat locker, you don't know that these things happen, see? I think some of us who are there almost daily would.
Yeah, but I don't want to get into examples, but I'm saying in your proposal, have you thought about how you're going to, structure that?
Not completely, because I couldn't tell what you were going to.
Well, but let's go back to my example of last meeting. The way that I, if we move forward with the management contract, like I said, I don't think there's any way. Linda may be a little different, but the Braytons would have to become employees of Clarkson Properties, and however he spends gas money, and if they waste it, it's either Brayton's wasting their money or the management company, because they're on a set dollar amount from, as far as how that's regulated. That's where you can't manage expenses if you're not managing the people.
Well, no, I think, as far as, you can manage the people. I just, as far as, right now, we've hired them, so I don't, you're still managing them. That would be okay.
Right, but any decision to terminate them should be
to go through the board.
Well, the consideration is we are managing the Braytons already, and we're managing their fuel. We just haven't
had a representation
from him. But if we'd asked for it today, he'd have told us how many miles he drives.
That's true.
And he'd have told us how much gas he uses.
Right, but that hasn't managed for the efficiency of the board and our budget. If you're one that doesn't want to, I can tell you thousands of dollars wasted in the last couple of months. Because we're trying to be helpful to a member, and we're hauling cows from the ranch all the way down to Johnson Canyon to weigh it, to haul them all the way back out there and then feed them on. That's not fair for the association. I don't want my tax dollar or my association feeding somebody else's cow, which I said and voted that they'd be gone from the ranch at the end of October. And then we talked about last by the end of November. And now we're still on our hay feeding cows and hauling them back and forth to weigh them and hauling people in to deliver Shauna's because we're nice. If you want to do that, that's fine. If Paul wants to do that, he needs to do that on his dime in his vehicle, not on the ranch truck that I'm involved, responsible for. I mean, that's a little bit hard, but we've got to get into that.
Yeah, but part of the problem is
and either he's going to do it on a daily basis, or the board has to do it. And honestly, I mean, I did it as board. I met with Vance Beckstead once a week, a Thursday at 1 o'clock, every Thursday at 1 o'clock for a couple hours. And we can go to that if the board wants to. I don't know that John Southwick from Cedar City can do it or anything. And it's going to, you know, I'm not sure that's why St. George, I'm sorry.
Okay.
You just lost property value.
No.
So how much do we think?
But it's no big transition. If we went that way, it doesn't matter. Niall Willis writes the check. We write a check to Niall. If Clarkson Properties wrote a check denial or whatever, it's really no change in their world. Same workman's compensation policy, everything else, it seamlessly transfers over. It means nothing to the Braytons.
Right.
In the meantime, though, we need to set up an account so that they know how much they have monthly for gas and that sort of thing.
Right.
We
need our budget, and then we need part of this that is printed, and I can show you some examples, that they get a report. They need a report every month. This is how much you have. This is how much you spent. If it goes over, I think bills don't get paid unless it comes back to the board or however. Somebody's got to manage. Again, this would all be solved if the management company does it. But just running away with expenses, because that's where we've put Linda in a position of feeling bad, paying bills that she does personally not agree with that are over budget. But she's like, hey, if somebody are spending, I can't. You know, they're going to start calling and hounding me. I got to pay a bill, and that's where we're wasting money.
Okay, so at 45 miles one way, a little bit less than that probably, but
from here to the ranch house is 40 miles, so 80 miles round trip at 10 miles a gallon. I mean, this is we're not getting
8 gallons.
8 gallons
right now. It's easy. It's $2 a gallon.
$60
you know?
A trip or $60 bucks a leg.
But in summer months, it could be a lot more.
Okay, so round numbers, let's say $20 for that, the fuel. Okay, so if we do that four times, that's $80. Let's round that to 100. So trips to Kanab, basically long distance trips, because that's as far as going is $100 a month, and you're going to have at least double that on the ranch. I mean, here's something. I have an employee, a full time employee that's in his own truck. I just went through this. We're providing him with the truck to now helping him buy his own truck. He's still going through $750 a month in fuel, and that's right here in Kanab. And it's I try but every time I say, hey, well, let's run over here, we got to do this and that, they're going to do it. Now, I think that $300 a month is, I don't know that we can stick to that, but I think that by using the Rhino and regulating the mileage meter on that truck to make sure that between, you know, board meetings that we say, oh, how did we get 2,000 miles on the truck?
You know, we just want to make sure that he is logging and that that it's provided to us.
Right. So that's $3,600.
For fuel.
Just go with that for an estimate.
Yeah, that's all we're putting together right now, $3,600 for road use fuel.
They bought their own four-wheeler also.
And if you would pencil in on the agenda, ask for a review of occasionally from Paul of the mileage, a review of the...
A monthly review.
Well, here's what I want to do.
You can report to any one of the board members. Well, but it doesn't have to be at the meeting.
He should leave us one piece of paper with bullet points of the three or four things that he did, and on that says that there's a reading, the latest reading on the truck mileage, how many, you know, and stuff, that he has his logs, but he has a report. We can, on the computer, make up a report, and he leaves 5 copies because I don't want him to explain it and take the time like we do today. Some things I want to discuss with him. Some of that stuff I just want him to drop off. And we look at it, or some of us won't look at it and throw it in the trash, but by the process of setting up that system, he knows that we're checking, and it will automatically happen without taking meeting time.
So you got $3,600 unleaded cost, right?
Right here.
What's next?
Red dye?
Yeah.
The diesel, how much a year? Because I'm separating these, remember?
How much did we just spend?
$860.
Well, but that was broken out here. We had budgeted $6,000 and we spent $6,700.
Yeah, that's on the no fuel.
That's the diesel, and that's not going to change. And we still have the Kubota.
Yeah, that will, because we had Olean.
And the grader.
Okay, so we cut that back to we got the grader, the Kubota, and
generator.
The generator.
Yeah.
But there's almost no way to measure any of those unless we. I mean, if we cut that back to 5,000, I don't know how much. How much of that? I mean, anybody have a feel? How much of that is generator? I mean, it hadn't been a lot of Kubota because Kubota didn't work a whole lot last year.
He's using the generator out there while he's doing this brush hogging. He's using it to start the Kubota or something because the starter's. I don't know what's going on, but anyway, the generator is out there.
Maybe the batteries are dead.
Something's not right. I don't know.
Yeah, if he's using the generator, that's the only thing it could be.
Or the starter.
You don't have to use that generator in particular to start.
I would say take $1,500 off of that just because of all the expenses at the beginning of the year. Maybe more.
Did a lot of traveling. I think that you're going to find a lot more of that went through Goldie's gas tank.
Yeah.
He was running diesel.
There's quite a number of people I saw when I used to go out there tapping off the overhead tank.
The unleaded tank is right inside the building on the store.
Right.
And so we do have a red diesel tank is above ground, a 500-gallon above ground tank, right?
That's an unleaded, isn't it?
Unleaded's underground.
Okay, so that's one in the near the ranch house, but the above ground is that diesel.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw it, it was in the corral. I don't know where it is.
Well, wherever it is, but we have one above ground tank that's the red diesel.
Oh, that old one? I don't think that's not even being used, but it is full of fuel, but it's really old fuel. The one that's out there by the corral?
It's being used.
Is it being used?
That is the red diesel tank.
There's two tanks here.
Yes. Yeah, gravity cut.
Is there one over there by the well field? No?
There's a diesel tank in the well field that runs the generator for the well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's two.
Okay.
What size?
But it just sucks straight out into the motor that pumps water to the 40,000-gallon tank, runs off of diesel, in the well field.
We need to track how much we put into that tank.
Does that have a gallon meter on it at all?
We need to get from Jenkins.
They need
to separate those things for us.
They've got to keep track of how much into this tank versus how much into that tank.
Yeah, because then we'd know how much the generator's using.
Mm-hmm.
But we still got to have a log on the above ground tank because there's times where somebody's out a few. I mean, we've had before where people said, "I'm dead empty. I've run out of gas. Can I buy some unleaded fuel?"
Yeah, they do that.
There were two tanks.
$4.50 a gallon.
We have no income from that.
Out by those cattle loads.
We had no gasoline.
There were two overhead tanks.
Yeah, we did.
$25.
And was there two?
I got that.
I believe one
we did. We have, I think, $55 in gasoline tanks.
Quick.
Yeah, half an hour.
Let's go.
Brent Fulmer, when he was running his logging operation, did he have a separate fuel tank there?
I'm sure. I think Brent did.
Do you know of? I can't remember.
Let's talk about some other things. Let's separate that out. But I would still peg that at five or less. I mean,
I might be able to find out more about that.
The more that's in there, the more we're going to spend. That's one that if we set it at 2,500, even if we go over some and keep some reserves, it's going to keep the perception in the budget that they see every month.
Yeah.
For red dye?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how much you want to get? 2,500? I don't want to go 2,500. That's cool.
15?
We should use less in diesel than we use in unleaded.
Oh, yes, we should.
It costs more.
We should.
15?
But it costs more.
It does cost more.
So the amount may be about the same.
I notice gas here in town is 40 cents higher than Cedar.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Yeah,
but
when
we got
truck it out,
$2
truck
out
it out, it's, we pay a little more than...
We didn't pay a trucking fee this time, though.
Oh, good. I don't know. $3,000?
I'd do the same, $3,600.
And then we'll see which one
outraces.
Okay. That sounds good. Headquarters area, we had expenses.
That's because we fixed up the ranch house. We worked on the store. We did a lot of work when they first got there that you had them do.
Yeah, we put windows in. We painted.
Yeah, all of that.
Paint sprayer.
But it's pretty much done unless we start working in the barn and things like that.
Well, that's the other one that we budget $2,500 and spent
$68. Yeah, we still have a lot to do in headquarters.
Well, I think we leave it the same. At $2,500, I mean, we've got to get that into better condition.
Yeah, definitely do that. Okay. Laundry
has come down.
Well, we budgeted $1,000, and we're within that.
Yeah, and that
it's
and
not
going
to go down. If we get more use in the cabins, it's going to go up. So, so let's keep $1,000.
Okay. The porta potty rental. I suggest $500.
I suggest we kill it.
Oh, well, let me show.
We could have easily by now built a cinder block building and had a porta potty.
We still have to get people to come out there and pump it, though.
True, but that's once a year. If we again, why we can put a septic system in
over there by the pond, by their spring.
Sure,
it's a pretty big cost, isn't it?
It's over $500.
Right. No, it would take a year, but. What did we have last year? We had two porta potties last year.
We only have the one. And you know what? We don't have to have them bring it out to us. We can pick it up and bring it out. They can just pick it up when it's done and full. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things you just fit up, you just tie it down in the back of a pickup truck, put it on the trailer. When you're going out to dump the trash, you can pick up the porta potty at the same time and truck it back out to the. And so the rental fee would be probably half that.
Well, no, they charge per month. It's $80 a month for a porta potty.
It is. It's $80 a month, and they charge $120 to go out.
Okay, so we can maybe
save $120.
Yeah, it would be $240.
We don't truck it back when it's full, though.
No.
Well, let's put a figure on it, but then I'm happier. Somebody should call both companies, say, we're opening for bids for the ranch. One phone call to both companies. You know, we're going down to one porta potty, a bid for you to keep it there from May 1st or May 15th through October, and you service it grand total. I don't care if you put it in this fee or you put it on the delivery fee. What's it going to cost us bottom line?
Who's the other company? I know
Johnson and Action Potty, I think their name is.
Are they here in town?
They're both in Fredonia.
Oh.
So is $500 okay? Just leave that at $500. Just you want to eliminate it altogether, or
what did we budget last year?
It was $400, but it was
$400. But we ended
but
up
we
with
spent
$1,000.
No,
yeah,
we better budget $500.
Yeah, okay. Propane. We budgeted $9 and we spent $10. But our tanks are full. We only went down. How many times did we have to refill during?
Propane.
During the year?
They went up there twice.
Twice this year?
Okay.
And then again this month. So three times this year.
And there'll be a little bit more usage because
and
of
I,
Johnson being in the cabin, in the garden cabins.
Yeah, I told Nancy, I said, are they using the heaters? And she said, I think they're using it in the bedroom that they're in. And I said, being young people, they may not realize. Could you have them turn it off during the day and just kind of watch the usage on that propane because it's expensive? And she said she'd look at it.
I'd like to see if we can save on that.
Here's the one way we're going to save it. We're going to contract with AmeriGas for $1 a year for underground 1,000 gallon tanks instead of the 250 gallons or the 500 that's up there, and we're going to watch and we're going to fill the tanks when the fuel is half the price instead of buying it and they come and send it when it's double the price. That's the only, that's the long-term solution. I'm not sure that we're ready to right now, and especially if our tanks are full, try to monitor and see how long they go. But this next summer, and we can, talk to them. That and monitoring, that's a bill that I know price per gallon, and you have to take the total and divide it back by the gallons. But every month our propane bill comes in. My secretary divides that out, and she knows a parameter what it is, and when it goes up 35% or 40% in 1 month, then you've got to call and threaten to change companies. That's the most fluctuating thing, in, especially in Kanab, is bottled gas.
Bottled gas.
I agree.
So should we keep it at the 9,000 we had last year? I mean, we're into
it. What did we spend this year? 10? Yeah,
we spent 10
grand.
Yeah.
What would make us think we'd do less?
No, we're not going to do less, especially if we have rental usage up.
Other than he was just saying we've already prepaid, we just filled them all, so we've got quite a bit in there. But I think we've still got to probably put 10 in there. And I would like to see, have that money there if we felt that we could put some of that money instead of buying gas when we empty it, put new tanks.
New tanks. New tanks. Obviously, we pay more because we're filling a larger capacity.
So we're leaving. We're going to put it to 10?
Yes.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Store supplies.
If we're going to make 5,000, we've got to have more than 1,000. Well, maybe not. Well, no, we're going to have more expense because we're going to buy a lot more stuff.
2,000?
No, to make 5, you've got to have to...
Well, but our 5 is our total income.
Budget, it's going to pay for itself. I don't think you need to build it into the budget if they're going to use their income.
Right.
I mean, purchase the supplies.
Well, but you're going to have 5,000 income. We're going to have 2,500 expense to net. But we were talking about trying to make 5,000. So
yeah.
You would have,
you'd have
10,000 in income and 5,000 in expense and netting out the difference.
Right.
So if we put 5,000 in income...
That's assuming we have more people out there, and yeah.
Well, we're gonna have to put product out there.
Expense. If we could find a way to put ice out there, we'd make a fortune. Really, I mean, just with the Balinskis.
They are actually planning with the freezer that they have out there having ice.
Yeah, well, there's no reason we don't.
$3 a bag, and it's
you
just
can't
water,
make ice in
water and
well, we that expense has got to be more than 1,000, so we're going to put 3,000 there.
Okay,
25. That's half of our sales. We've got those kind of things. It's got to be a double price.
We have
point.
To have a good markup.
Right.
So then, do we need to file for sales tax then? Because right now we are not.
Yeah, that should be kept in paid sales tax on it.
Sales tax. Telephone. How much are we spending for telephones? Linda?
Hmm?
How much are we spending for telephones?
It's mixed up with the trash.
I don't know. How much do you pay for the telephones?
Okay, let me look here. Go on to the next item and I'll find it out
trash.
For you. No! That trash amount is $40, I can tell you that. It's $40 a trip. I don't know why.
And
then we've got tarps. We bought several tarps for that trash truck because they
we're not going to... Yeah, I know. I understand why.
I put it in the trash account,
okay.
So...
Well, it's for $40 a trip. During the summer months, we're going at least twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Twice a month?
Yes.
Sure. Okay, so 10 trips. That's $400. In off season, we're going once a month. Okay, so that's another seven times 40.
And at one time, we were asking the membership to take their trash out, haul their own trash out. Is that?
I don't know that it's
realistic.
I think for them to bring it to the headquarters and then instead of them throwing it offside the road is worth paying for. But I think that again, I don't know what our trash trailer right now looks like. Some of those we need to look at.
I was out there last week. It looks like a trash trailer.
Well, I just don't. I'm just saying, is it big enough where we could bring?
It's a pickup bed, like a pickup bed.
It's a dump trailer.
It's
a big dump trailer.
You push your trailer in.
12 foot, 14 foot. Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's $680 for the year, roughly, for trash.
Is that the cost to dump it at the?
Yes, $40 per load, right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, but we don't go twice a month in the
office. No, I know. Seven months we go once a month, and then 5 months we go twice a month. So that's a total of $680.
Maybe because they're not maintaining the road, we can have that fee waived.
So what do you want? What, $700 there for trash?
I'd put $500. I mean, I think we need, in the winter they're not coming once a month.
They're not even coming once a month?
Well, it should take us all winter to sell that thing.
Okay. 500. We give them 500.
We should bring some of it out there.
Well, and the other thing is...
Telephone.
Looks like $180 a month.
Okay. $180 a month.
Well, my question is telephone. What is telephone?
Three cell phones.
This is mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And some of this cost is also there's been a problem with cords and things like that. We've had some of that happening. But what we do, and this is again the way that Barbara had it set up because she had moved to St. George, I think, is her There's a landline for South Central that maintains our phone number 3007
right.
for Deer Springs. And the address on it is on Hillside Drive, which is what's in the phone book. It's been permanently transferred to this cell phone, and this is 689-1547, and this is what we use. And I've talked to South Central about having that landline transferred to my home and having that line come into my home, but we didn't end up doing it, not for because they weren't willing, just because I couldn't get to the phone line.
Do we need to change the phone numbers on the website?
No.
Do we
if they call 644-3007, I get it. So it's no, we don't need to change it. 5007 is
enough. That number?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's our mainstay number. I think that if
we
do anything.
We need to keep that number. And if you get a managing company, then there's a good chance they're going to have that number.
Right. No, we need to, I think that that.
180 per month, right? What are we looking at?
181. Figure 185.
So the cell phones are all with South Central also.
No, it's
all
that.
That's where
2220. 2220. Okay.
Supposedly, Alltel provides the best service out there. Isn't that
probably.
Yes,
I'm on Alltel, so I think coverage there would have asked.
Okay.
Dirk disagrees.
Tools.
Telephone is 22.
Tools. Let's move on. Tools. We had $500.
I have to make a bet you that. Don't tell. I need to know how much. 2220.
2220 will reduce the tool budget this year.
What did you put for? Yeah, because we bought
500.
Yeah, because we went way over in tools.
I borrowed that for
but they're we need 500 for miscellaneous replacement and hand tools.
Okay, yeah, I know he needs a crimper for the PEX.
The plumbing is PEX now.
Yeah, he had the half inch
right.
and needs 3/4.
I'd rather him be able to do it than call Rick. Also, Rick is really reasonable. It's
he
like
is
he
right
hasn't even got a bill.
Great.
He's free right now.
His retirement plan. Someday he's just going to pull the bills out.
Okay. All right. $500 for tools, tractor and grader repairs. I say $1,500. We had budgeted $2,500. We had used $1,332. So I think $1,500.
And we...
Now, they said the Kubota is fixed. Is the PTO fixed, or is it just already?
I believe he said he fixed it.
We didn't spend 13 because I got a Kubota bill, and remember I told you about that at the
beginning.
Yeah, you did $1,200 on mm-hmm. That's right. The Kubota is fixed.
Right. Yeah, I think $1,500 is still where we can be.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anything other than building facilities equipment? No, I can't think of anything. General administration.
I had suggested 1154 that we had 1154 in building facilities equipment. That was things that weren't on a line item here.
What suggestion 1154 from what?
I don't remember because this was last month.
All right.
So. Okay, go on.
Okay, general administration, and that's your is that your fee?
That's me.
Okay, I changed that to bookkeeping. I'd rather the administration's
right.
That's kind of what I've been doing.
I think that the bookkeeping and
I also do reservations and things like that, so
bookkeeping reservations. Flash reservations.
Okay.
Oh, I know you wear many hats, Linda, believe me.
Go down and pay for the... I don't know.
Are we okay with that salary figure? Or
well,
Are you okay with that salary figure?
How many hours a day do you think I should put in?
Well, I don't know.
My question is this fee, in your mind, Linda, tied to kind of the hours you put in and based on 2008, is this too much, not enough? I mean, is it about fair to hourly or... Is it just the amount of distraction and headache and, you know, where that's at? I mean, if we can try to clean up some of these, the bookkeeping and stuff and streamline it so that it takes a lot less to do the books, there's still a certain amount of time in reservation and answering questions and those kind of things.
And I carry this around with me everywhere. And sometimes I don't get it because like we did today, we had a meeting going, but... It depends on the day. Some days it is never enough. Well, you know, but because of the things that I end up dealing with and that sort of thing, but it ends up being, like I said, $666 a month is what I do. So I figure myself two to three hours a day is what I'm thinking of work on that. So.
Just because I don't know, that started about a year ago.
Yeah.
You started, and was that, was there a rhyme or reason to that figure? Was that tied to, okay, we assume we'd spend about this much time?
They raised it from 7,200.
That was,
you had the year before, it was 7,200.
Yeah, and they raised it up to 8,000.
Raised to 800.
Yeah. So that was a raise that I received last year. They raised only two because they had promised him
contract.
A raise.
Yeah,
but that came down because we have new help. So.
But it went back up because we do workers' compensation and all
the other. Yeah, it went right back up to what it was. You're right. That's true. So I try to limit my time to two to three hours a day. Some days it's like 8 to 10 hours because I crash it in all on one day if it's...
Well, but your average is 2 to 3, though.
That's what I try to limit to.
Well, let's see what other areas, because that's part of it is, you know, what the job entails and, you know, what other things are part of it. What are merchant fees?
Merchant fees is the fees for...
Using credit cards.
Credit cards, yeah, they charge us.
They charge
us. This isn't a good representation of that.
Credit card discount.
Yeah. Okay.
Board meeting, we need to add money for that.
Okay, on credit card, do we accept all credit cards or...
Not a motion.
Should these be catered events?
Yeah. Well, this year we spent $431. Obviously, yeah, we had some meetings. We had the 4th of July. Didn't we put that in there? 4th
uh-huh.
of July meeting
uh-huh.
there. And
annual meeting.
Annual meeting.
And
there
we
are
had that. And we also had the meeting when the Braytons and the other family came out to meet
right.
with them.
To meet with the board. Hiring so that's all within that $431. So I suggest $500. I don't know.
Okay.
Does that include the telephone hookup?
Yeah.
That's what she is saying. It really hasn't been budgeted. That.
So maybe we should include that if we
have. It was $127.
If we're going to keep it, sure.
Yeah.
And if we're going to keep it in the same building, I mean.
Yeah, we don't always meet here. During the summer, we try to meet up at the ranch as much as possible. We can meet at my house, or we can meet
and at those
elsewhere.
Times, those times we don't provide?
Well, we provide it, but it doesn't cost.
Doesn't cost.
Okay, so half? So
600? 600, I think, would be
for
a good
telecommunication
figure.
And then?
For meetings?
Well, let's just do board meetings. If we're going to, I mean, if we did that for 1,000 to include, you know, and I would.
Any kind of food that we might use.
And
what?
I wouldn't call it board meetings. I'd do, you know, meeting facilities and communication or something. So.
Okay, meeting. So.
We're doing 600, is that what you said?
1,000. It's just a figure. We
yeah.
come under, we want to come under.
Sure.
Okay, we don't have to blow it all. And obviously, if we can, you know, with the management company, they may, like I said, part of the proposal is, and I know Dale said that he would provide meeting places for us. I don't know if that would include the phone expenses, but.
Okay. Well, I think more of the
meeting place. Okay.
I'll put this in on our board meeting then. That's where I'll.
Yep.
Yeah.
I might
categorize
that.
Yeah.
Internet set 50 a month, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So that isn't going to change. Legal taxes, liability,
insurance,
property insurance.
Can you?
Who is that with now? I mean,
Summit. Summit Insurance. Yeah.
Legal tax prep. Well. Niall Willis does our tax prep. Legal is that's
right. No, I've
learned
the liability.
Oh, liability. I'm sorry.
Next one down. Our liability insurance is probably Summit Insurance.
We have Summit, and we also have Auto Owners.
Okay.
That's Summit.
Well, it should be together.
The same thing.
Yeah.
No, we also have our vehicles are with in the building.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, they should. Whoever they're with, they need to be together. And you shouldn't have a separate. I mean, you'll get. I mean, if whoever has your house insurance, if you don't have your cars insured with that same company, you're an idiot because you'll get at least a 20% discount.
I've talked to Betty about that, but that's not. It doesn't happen, Betty and Jeff's office.
Peggy.
I'll
go and talk.
Sorry.
Because
go through a local broker. Is that it? They sub it out
for
too.
Automobile. No, it's two different ones.
Oh. That's right. Are we with Farmers with auto?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what she's saying.
Okay.
Farmers Insurance locally, Yates Insurance has our autos. Summit Insurance out of
Draper.
Has the liability. And
right.
There's no reason to have them separated. One or the other company can
but
have
it's liability on the ranch. Yeah,
Jeff can write a policy for liability on the ranch.
Well, we need to shop that.
Sure.
That's what we're saying.
I mean, it hasn't been revisited, I guarantee, for years.
Yeah.
No, actually, I revisited when we went with this Ole thing, when this thing came up.
You revisit
and
with
talked
the other?
To them, yeah. And there was some problem that they didn't feel like they could do the ranch, or the ranch didn't feel like they could do the auto. I mean, as auto owners, I thought that was the auto insurance until we started.
No, that's our liability.
Yeah,
on our structures.
I know.
Yeah.
So
they should be together. Both those insurance companies should be able to handle. If Yates can't, then we'll have Summit handle all of it.
Okay.
Like we used to.
You've before shopped different companies, and nobody would come close to Summit.
Well, that's what I say. I set up
Mark
the stuff with
Mark
Hunter is the one that set up Summit. I had my house, my cars. I set all that up with him, and so to move our vehicles away from them, I'm not sure why. I mean, if
I don't know,
but it's a big enough thing that at least every couple of years we ought to have it shopped. I mean, I don't think that it's been revisited.
Maybe Jeff shot Barbara a good price or something.
Well, Jeff can't beat Summit. I guarantee. Summit's auto insurance is through Bear River, and Jeff can't beat Bear River.
Okay.
On price, I still have mine with Jeff because I'm not. It's not all about price. When we have an accident like this, I want to be taken care of. And so I know that on those things, next time I wreck my car, I wrecked the car with Summit, and I wrecked the car with Jeff, and I had experience on both.
Okay. Now, is our auto expense, is that also dealing with, does that also encompass our auto insurance?
No, it's separated on here. So I don't put that insurance on there. I put it on this insurance. This is all the insurance.
Okay,
I'm going to look at your sheet.
No, I don't see it for some reason.
Liability and property
Liability
insurance.
Property insurance.
And auto, she's saying.
It does. It's also the auto. It doesn't say auto there.
No, it doesn't. But
no.
I put it all on insurance.
Because that $6,500 is just for Summit. That's what we paid Summit for our property and the liability insurance, correct? I believe so.
I think you're right.
That's also fire on all the buildings.
Yeah, that's fire. I mean, yeah, property insurance, fire, you know, on all of our structures.
This year, Summit was wanting to drop us.
Well, because of the lawsuit that they're having to pay out.
Maybe I did put that in auto. I don't remember.
Well, we need to separate that out. Let's separate that out then.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the $6,500 is, or the $6,283 is strictly just the Summit.
Well,
I think you're right.
And that's the question, but
right.
We need to be consistent at
so.
The insurance on the trucks, is that going to auto expense, or does it go, or usually, you know, I have insurance as a main category, and then under that, three or four different types of insurance.
Well, we can put in with our auto, we can put, like we separated out the fuel, we can put in there a category for insurance.
Insurance is insurance. I don't like to keep it with auto. I think that auto, you think gas, oil, maintenance.
Okay.
Okay. And I'd rather see
insurance
as a subcategory.
Auto insurance as a subcategory of...
Auto is a subcategory.
Well,
you have insurance as a category,
right.
And then sub of that is...
You have liability, property, and then another sub would be auto.
Auto.
Okay, I'm good with that. I like that, yeah. So we need to put another
figure
in there.
63
auto
for
insurance.
63 for Summit. Auto.
Yeah, I put 6,500 there.
65?
65 on mine, because I'm figuring it's going to go up. We have this,
yeah.
You know, and then just the ballpark figure. I just pull in.
Well, we may not be able to change right now.
Yeah.
In the middle of
right.
That.
And, well, we don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, I'm not sure that that's the.
No, we'll wait till they drop us. No, auto insurance. Okay. Now, well, how much are we paying in auto insurance then?
I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
Those
I don't have that information.
Let's go payments go on? We got a ballpark figure or not?
Totally blank on that.
What's the next guess?
Payroll services?
No, this is management fee. That's how much the Braytons are being paid.
I put $42,000.
That's with all the overhead, too,
that
I mean.
That should include all the overhead.
Well, but on her budget, it's broken out, and we had up here.
That is just strictly what they're being paid. And then I started putting payroll services
in
there.
You got to put in.
Exactly, and I've got it on my suggestions here that we need to include that, put that in. So.
Right, that's what I put with the $42,000 on my draft.
Payroll
here.
Services needs to be $300.
$300?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A year?
Mm-hmm. $10 a check. And then.
There should be 24 checks, so that's. $240.
Mm-hmm.
Are we other? They're writing other checks for like
sometimes,
taxes.
Sometimes,
stuff like that.
Yeah. Sometimes
okay.
There's something.
That makes sense. Yeah. Printing in postage, $1,000.
Wait, did we go back to workman's comp is further down on the thing? Okay, printing and postage. Do you want to separate those?
Tell me.
I was just leaving it. I was just leaving at 12, so.
I think I put it down.
We can do that.
Well, maybe with the changes we're going to make, we can easily meet that with posting stuff to the web.
But it is nice a lot of times to keep track of your printing costs separate from your postage costs.
I think we should separate as much as possible so you have a better idea of what's
going
on.
I'll print you off a list of accounts that we use in our company. Postages and printing are separate.
Okay.
So we're okay with $1,000 for the two of them for right now?
Yep.
Okay. Security?
Security, what do we have? Right now, what is security?
That's our tags. Our tags.
That was our little tags we spent
mm-hmm.
$500 on tags.
And I put padlocks in there that he bought for the
$287. Okay. I propose we spend $1,000 based on.
Security.
My other proposal.
Okay.
Because you want to do cameras?
Yeah. I mean, something we need to do.
I think the membership will like that. Yeah.
I know Larry Sensler.
Website, $100.
What expenses are we actually incurring now to maintain the website?
Just the presence, probably, right?
This is
the hosting isn't costing more than $100 a year.
We've got this. This is including
Melinda.
Melinda.
Mm-hmm. And what is the webmaster? Our webmaster.
$500 a month. I mean, $65 a month. And anything
that
has
to. Does she host it?
No, it's being hosted by.
Yahoo, isn't it? Or
we have
GoDaddy.
GoDaddy,
and that's
yeah.
come down. And
we can, GoDaddy.
But some of this is also from InfoWest, which is where it was because it did change over this year. So, and it was more expensive.
But it's important to have the
$65 a month. Is
$800.
We ought to still be able to do it for $1,000. I mean, if that's our main expense plus hosting, I mean, if we're paying her, she should be able to take care of everything that's not being done by some volunteer people as far as adding.
Right.
Yeah,
and Vance does the posting of the board meetings and stuff. So $1,000 should be okay with that. That's still.
That's about what we do.
Okay.
And it should be less than that, so.
Okay. And this is with this. I also put in summer miscellaneous help in this category too. Because I think that's.
Oh, did you? You have winter help too. We have summer somewhere.
We use the 1,000. It's down below on ranch staff summer help.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But you want it up here instead?
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, because the withholding and all that should be up there too. Anyway. it's in our administration.
Gotcha.
Cost.
Gotcha.
You know,
okay.
We don't need a separate thing just for rent. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not spending $100 a month, right? We're not.
We did in December.
You gave the $100 was for the weeding.
Right, I did that. So, and we were
and
doing
$200
a month. And
then you get $200
for...
Let's just see. Yeah.
D,
thank you. I kept going band and I
okay,
know that's
okay, so, I, you know, $1,000, I think we're still good there. Was it, you know... And we can, that's something that we don't have to decide on right now.
General administration.
Is everyone okay with that? Okay. Office supplies. You had $800 and you went to $817 and we still. Okay.
I think $800 is fine.
Now, with that office supply, if we put in a new computer tower,
that's $500 more.
I think you can get for less than that. We're not talking a whole computer, not a whole desktop setup.
Just the tower and the functions in it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we. I'm sorry, I didn't price it out yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Did
but
you bring the windows?
No, we didn't do that.
Okay.
Thanks, Linda.
So do we want to
yeah,
move that up for me?
So I think we're okay with $800. No, I put $1,000.
$1,000, okay.
And that'll include the new computer for Linda?
I think so.
Okay.
Because your monitor's still good, your keyboard's
yeah,
still fine.
Yeah, everything else
everything
is
else
fine.
Everything else is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a tower that you need with the
mm-hmm.
operating system
mm-hmm.
that are needed. And you forward me the information. Okay. That's general administration TEA category. You okay with that?
Yep.
Okay. Livestock, wildlife, and agriculture. Crop management, erosion control.
You kept that the same at
35. I kept that.
No, you were bumped that up.
Did I bump
nope.
that up?
No, nope, that's what it was,
3,500. I eliminated, okay, let's look over the category. I eliminated cow, hay, and winter feed.
Good.
Okay. So crop management, erosion control was the next one down, and I kept that at 3,500. Did I?
Yes.
Okay. Fencing materials.
I bumped
it up to 2,000 instead of the 1,200 that they had there.
To okay. what?
2,000. And fish was 2,500, and we only spent 1,630.
Yeah, but we only got one shipment.
Was it adequate?
No.
We had two shipments. Was one of them a correctional shipment?
Yeah, one of them
dead
was the dead ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't bring a full shipment then. Although he didn't remember that.
Should we keep that at 2,500?
Are you positive he came the second
yes,
time?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay. Because
he
didn't remember that when I talked to him.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Made it good. There's a lot of dead.
Who coordinated that last year and who are we
Albert.
Working with?
Barbara did.
Yeah, Barbara did. She coordinated.
I'm just curious who or where we got.
And I was there when they delivered the first load. I was
there for the second one.
Yeah, they were there for the second load.
Danny Albrecht.
Control, if you want to string her.
What? How far after the first load did the second load come?
I wish I had a
how much
freezer.
How much
first
time? It was within a month. Within a month,
oh,
I think,
okay.
of the first delivery. Wasn't it within a
yeah.
month of the first delivery?
So we planned that happened in late May.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's all I have as far as livestock, wildlife, and agriculture.
Well, I think
three, but.
Well, let's look in here. I mean,
there's grazing expense. Grazing
some of those
expense.
We don't need, but I think we're gonna. We need to have some. I mean, they budgeted $600 for petting zoo and spent $700. We need to decide. You know how much. You know, do we need to maintain a petting zoo for the members and have some extents or? Well, I know, but we still had those in the past. I think that to have a functioning. Ranch barnyard is of value to
they
some
have
extent.
The Braytons have their animals, but they're visually,
they're,
but it's not there for them to pet or play with.
Right. I think that we don't need to have a formal petting zoo. I
yeah.
mean, if kids
well, they,
want to go
they
and
have goats,
they have some
pigs,
goats,
they have
some chickens, and they're
chickens.
Feeding them at their expense.
I think the peacocks are still
mm-hmm.
there, too.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're feeding them at their expense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so maybe we should contribute towards the expense of feeding.
I think it wouldn't be a bad
for,
idea.
Like, especially for the, like, the fowl.
Although,
I'm hoping I would
just up to $25 a bag now.
I like the idea because I know that they invited Emily and my granddaughters to milk the goats. And that's part of the thing we're talking about
exactly.
Being a ranch.
I think $50 a month to go toward miscellaneous feed around the barnyard is reasonable to,
Excellent.
That's 2 bags of chicken feed. Because it's $25 a bag.
Well, they don't feed chickens up there. They're range chickens.
Well,
they feed their chickens. They feed them scratch.
The reason I say that is because all the feed has doubled.
Yeah.
In the last couple of months.
They're
selling eggs, aren't they?
So it's just petting food. We're just doing the feed then.
For their own.
I don't want to pay for animals, and somebody that's paying attention closer has to own the ownership of the animals and feel bad when it dies, or unless it gets. We've had managers that said, "Okay, then never mind, don't touch them," and lock them up. And if we get in that scenario, but Brayton's, I don't think have or.
And we can tell them too that the board is budgeted.
Yeah.
In
$50 a month.
I don't want to say in with the understanding that.
Well,
people can.
This is an issue.
People see their chickens
that.
Out. Their chickens are out.
Right, and I think that's
thing.
Enough. But but this whole idea of we've got to manage not only the budget, but Brayton's and animals. I mean, right now, last time I was up there, the south end of the well field looks like a total junkyard. I don't know whose junk it is, but a lot of it is the management family, and they were going to plow and plant that. Johnson's would have, but then Brayton's were saying, well, no, we need a place for our cows. And I was just saying,
I thought last meeting,
the whole reason we got rid of our cows is because I don't want to see cows, I don't want to deal with cows, and I don't want to deal with management cows. And so if they have one milk cow kind of a thing or a person, we've got to somewhere find that line between what are you doing for your family.
I think they're keeping one calf, and it's just for meat.
Right.
And I said, well, you got a cap.
Well, but horses are, but the same thing. The ranch owns no horses.
Right.
I don't want to deal with 12 horses that are some of theirs. Right now, we've got their horses. We have their horse that just got put down. We've got other members' horses that are on our.
We shouldn't have other members' horses.
At the last meeting, there was other members' horses still up there.
I think that's probably not the case anymore because we were up there a week after Thanksgiving. And I only
saw
like three
horses out there.
Well, Oli still had horses. Are they all gone now?
They should be gone.
Are they out of the meadow, Dad?
They're gone? Okay.
All right.
So that's just what I'm saying is some of these decisions,
right.
I don't want to make a decision and it's 4 months later, we're still trying to, I want to, through this winter, if we get rid of things, then be very careful and have a clear indication from whoever's leading Brayton's. Don't bring on much more than a puppy or a kitty without some approval and stuff because we've been just...
he asked me about the cow and a calf and I discouraged them against it. But I wasn't hard and fast because I know that I know they weren't going to use the cow for milk because they use their goats for milk,
right?
And I know he wanted to keep a calf back because he was going to have wanted for meat. But I'm saying, well, the reason I just talked to him recently about this, and I said the reason we got rid of the cow is we weren't going to feed him,
right?
We bought all that feed, but that feed's not there for their cow, or Brent's cow, or John's cow, or anyone else.
The money issue there, and the bigger issue is still the time, because there's times where, even in their report is we're spending a lot of time chopping wood, and then I go and work to earn a living, and then after work I go chop wood to keep my wife warm. That's not work. That's not for my employer. And so how to separate that, because theirs becomes all mixed in.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's very important to say, we ran to town and there was one excuse to do something, and we ran. We went and got wood and chopped wood for 3 days to either for ourselves or to give away. And I think that they will be fair and follow direction. But that's something that I think we've lost all systematic
granularity
that we used to have. I think that Ole threw all that out the window or whatever. I don't know.
Well, and if this is all new to them and it's new to me and this whole operational thing, and so it's a learning experience all around for a lot of people.
Yeah, they've been real receptive.
They are receptive to doing what we ask them to do.
Petting zoo, $500?
Yeah, $600.
So we're leaving it at
$50 a month.
$50 a month, $600.
We're leaving it at $600,
yeah.
Okay.
All right, what else?
Livestock, wildlife, agriculture. Never mind.
I don't think there was any other thing in there that we needed. Horseback feed? No. Raising fee expense.
We don't need
a BLM fee or anything?
We don't use it. It's based on the use. So if we put some in there when I work this out, then we'll have some, but we'll have income to cover it, or we won't have any.
All right. Okay. All right. Ranch staff we put up into the other category of administration, so we skip that.
But
road.
But we have no budget for withholding.
Yeah,
he rolled that in.
I rolled it
why,
into their cost.
That's why his number is 42,000 and the one we have is 39.
We don't have to separate. It's all managed. It's all cost for them.
I didn't catch that cost. I'm sorry. 42 is what you put
42.
In?
42.
Yeah, you have 39.
Yeah.
He's got 42.
Okay, I just didn't get that written in.
Well, and some of that, it is difficult. We've got a budget how she's going to keep track of it, or we're talking two different languages. And QuickBooks is the boss. I mean, if we use this, she'll take these exact numbers and plug them in so that we have the actuals to, you know, and and so as we make some of these changes, we need to make sure. Because
if you
legally, she
category,
still has
to
break out.
Category and break that down, but it's still in the
what is their salary?
Overall category.
$2,500
a month, isn't it?
I don't know, but based on what I've seen, they are the highest paid people in Kane County. I mean, to have food, housing, car provided, all your fuel paid.
Yeah.
They are very well paid for anything in this area.
Are we doing something different with them than we've done in the past with managers, or is it caretaker, whatever we want to call it? It just increased.
In line with what we were doing with Ole.
Okay.
Prior.
I mean, way back in the Becksteads, we were providing that. They got their home, their all salary.
The
difference is that
housing.
If you go back to Becksteads' time or others, they were running all the horses, all the cattle, all the cabin cleaning.
And their mentality was they were putting in 50 hours a week of hardcore labor unrelated to their family. You know.
And their annual, their budget was substantially. I think we were paying Becksteads something like $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
$24,000 compared to $42,000. Like
that area. Yeah, but I think it's a fair price for what we're paying. They got a supportable family. You know.
Well, I don't. That's completely irrelevant. The job description pays the wage, and I'm okay with what we're talking about here. I'm more uncomfortable the dollars we're paying, but a system to regulate 6 months later what got produced. If all we did was chop and burn a lot of wood,
a lot has been accomplished over that time. And I think, as they get to know, you know, their
as compared
responsibilities.
To what? As compared to
I
what?
I mean, you know, that job just doesn't end. It's not like an 8-to-5 job.
Right, I understand. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
The last 10 ranch managers we've had.
The other consideration is the paid labor.
We're paying you.
Chores.
We're also providing some income that there too for summer help and stuff.
Right, and so that's why I say I don't know the budget wise. We need to reduce that figure or anything.
I think we've just
got to make sure we have a system in place and some benchmarks because it's not a 9-to-5. It's very difficult to they don't punch in and out. So it's very difficult to regulate. There's got to be benchmarks
when,
and accountability.
When the pipes break in a cabin, you got to fix it.
The only other thing that I'd say, based on what I've heard that's happened in the last 6 months and stuff, is and with previous managers, even though there was less,
the outside repairs
and expenses were nothing. I mean, when Vance was there, if he had a plumbing expense, he repaired it. If the tractor broke, he repaired it. If anything broke, he repaired it. Now we're paying the ranch managers more to do that. We're paying tens of thousands of outside contractors to do some of that. We've got to keep that in check.
They are learning it. That's one of the things that I told them.
If
somebody's coming out to work, he needs to stand there and watch so he can repair it.
Yeah. Okay. And prior ranch manager, Foley, was doing horses and goats.
That was an aberration.
So what
too.
We were paying him,
him
and his stinking donkey.
I mean,
I don't think you can use that mistake. However,
I don't think that that's a good measure.
No, we still have to manage our people.
And then,
I agree. We still need to have
making any money on the side on the men's lab in that basin.
No, we still have to manage. We still have to make sure the work gets done. We still need to give them benchmarks.
Well,
I agree with you. We need to make sure
some training and accountability, and I think that you have worked and talked with them. I think Linda has, as far as this next year, I would like to see some of the piddly handyman things that could be done.
I think
that now they have seen work. I mean, what he did on the insulation and the insulation box around the battery and stuff. I mean, I think he does. He's got an eye to do quality stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just bailing wires.
And he replaced the windows. He painted
A lot of those expenses, too, were like, we're under the gun to get this stuff done. Because, you know, the season, they were put in right at the beginning of the season. Boom.
Right.
You know, and we had to not only that, but we had to put in a lot of expenses to the ranch house itself to get it livable. And they need to maintain it and take care of it. I agree.
They are. In defense of that, they, like I said, when I sent AmeriGas out, we sent AmeriGas out to do some repairs on the refrigerators. I told Paul, I said, you need to stand over and watch them, how they're doing this, so you know what this is about. Same with the electrical system. You know, you need to go out there and make sure you know what it's about so you can take care of it if there's a problem. And
I encourage him to take pictures and make a manual, whatever you got to do, because you do something once a year or once every couple of years.
Exactly.
It's not like, oh, what was I doing there?
The water lines,
I think that
all of that.
Become more efficient.
They are.
It would be their advantage to assign one of the board members the responsibility of interfacing with them and have them report to that board member.
They report to me weekly.
They have the logbook.
I know, but I talk to them at least weekly, sometimes a couple times a week.
That's a little bit much on you.
I know, but I think with this management operation, someone locally is much better than me even, you know, 2 hours away.
Okay.
So, okay.
I think that's good in livestock.
Okay, cool. Roads, contract services.
I'm sorry. Are we going to keep the $200 a month for D on this? So that was 12.
Summer help.
That would be 12. What do you have for summer help?
We moved
help?
That up into
back up
administrative.
Oh, so it's not a separate category?
It is, but it's in administrative.
What is? How much do you have on that?
I think it's.
Summer miscellaneous, $1,000.
Just $1,000, okay.
Okay, contract service for roads. Is that going to somebody pay to run our operator? Is that for some additional outside?
Our plus both. I mean, it's our operator plus contract work through like Alan Steve, Blue Ox, who's done works in culverts and placing rocks and doing some erosion control. So it's that. And also Larry Meltzer, who does operate our grader.
And he does that on an hourly rate?
On an hourly rate. It's 20.
20
per hour. Yes. And do we have a total figure for him?
Well, is Larry doing better?
I think
Is this Larry Meltzer that you were given some input and training on running the grader?
Again, I'm fine to pay... branch member that's out there that kind of wants to do it half for fun, and they're kind of halfway an operator and kind of learning.
A reasonable rate, like $10 an hour, or for $20 an hour, we can get a professional that can go up there on a Saturday here and there and do four times the work.
Are we paying him travel time and everything else?
What's that?
Are we paying him travel time and everything too? I don't know.
You get one for 20 an hour?
Yeah. I think that there's...
Operating our equipment.
Our equipment, no. There's people that run the county road crew and stuff.
This time of year. This time of...
But there's a lot of times the county road crew are working 410s, and if they can, you know, work on the weekends or whatever and do some of that.
Part of the problem that you run into there is just because they're a county road crew, there's not one of the county road crew that I would pay $20 an hour. None.
Well, I'm comfortable with paying Larry because this year I don't think we have had any greater expense as far as repairs or anything like that. So
right.
I think he's easy on our equipment.
The last
I think that's important
road
to do.
Operators that we had at the ranch caused us upwards of $6,000 worth of damage on the grader.
He knows the equipment. He's easy on it, and he's getting the job done. And I haven't had any complaints. You know, if there was
well, I don't know. That's where I'd ask
was
him.
Be
if Larry
worked
on
I think I usually get it.
there's been some damage on the roads and stuff that I'm unhappy with, but I don't know who did it over, you know, when, you know.
I think most
but
of that over your direction has been Alan Steed and Bill Hall.
I know a lot of Alan Steed.
So, you know, and Alan Steed, he does contract with to do some of those kind of work. So
especially emergency stuff.
And that's where I just think the right, and where we have that grader, if Meltzer doing it, and I agree, the timeliness of if it rains and there's just the right amount of moisture and somebody can get right on it and you know, instead of saying,
yeah,
well, by the time we get something here in 2 weeks, we're spending more to fix it up.
That's
so
the other thing. It's like if the moisture's there and he can do that, you know, it's easier.
So he's planning on being here next summer because he's not here now?
He's not here now. I guess he plans on being back.
Well, I thought he was working this
something.
Well,
I could be wrong.
Faggot, it's $6,000 then, is that?
I left that at $6,000. We only used $3,300.
Well, I think that by contracting out with some of these others that we'll need that next year to.
Right. That's the main concern of the owners is roads. So.
Well, I think some of it's meant to do.
It's a big priority. It's
some projects here and there that should have been done for 10 years, so we still need to have enough money to do some of those.
Yeah, especially over in the Slide Canyon area where there's still, you know, road work needs to be, you know, done as far as.
We'd had a discussion on that too. Exactly how far are we going off of Meadow Canyon Road? You know, the $6,000, I mean.
Slide Canyon Road looked good. I was up there last week.
There's a couple turnoffs where you get off the main road,
mm-hmm,
and you try to get into some of these other lots,
mm-hmm,
where it's all washed out.
Oh.
I just think we need a road plan to say these are A roads, Metal Canyon, we want it this wide and graveled. These other arteries are, you know, dirt with a little gravel in the bad spots and, you know, and have some kind of, and I think there's been some of those.
What's happened is individual communities have taken that
taken that responsibility on their own, but yeah. There's other work to be done, but you're right. The main arteries are the main focus.
And so that's what my point is. Is that that's what this $6,000 covers is Meadow Canyon Road.
No, it would be whatever we did on all of them. Meadow Canyon is going to be run multiple times a year. Some of the others may only get hit.
Okay.
This spring past and fall. Year for the $3,000-some-odd, Larry Meltzer bladed just about every road on the ranch.
Oh, okay.
Minimum.
Okay. So a lot of work gets.
Oh, okay. So some of them only get hit once a year. Is enough to keep them tuned up other than bad spots.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the bad spots you just have to lift the blade and go past it and then, you know, keep going. Okay. And also with roads, you know, there's always, you know, cattle guards. Are we, you know, those are other expenses that go on with that, gates, culverts, the BLM fee. And what I put in there is $500 per year. And that's what I think we should budget for. It's over a 10-year period. But once again, with those figures, I put in that, not knowing what it might be in 10 years from now, you know, and obviously, you know, if when I, you know, go to the BLM and find out what the true story is and find out why we're getting, you know, hit so hard with those, with that term, you know, that lease agreement, you know, that could change. But that's what I put down, not knowing, you know, if we can. So, okay.
Who was that? Lee Beller was talking about the BLM official he talked to. What was that all about? What was it BLM or?
Yeah.
The one that they were going to confiscate his tractor.
Oh, right. Because he was doing some emergency road work because of the floods.
Because it was out on BLM ground.
Oh, okay.
That's why the county could not maintain it because of that same conflict.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said he could bury him in the road.
If that's where the $3,800 comes from.
Okay, water resources.
Water system.
Okay, system maintenance and repairs. I put $15,000 there. Because that's the...
Well, that's a big thing. If we're going to get the headquarters system...
That water tank.
Set up
properly. You know, from what I understand, I guess that tank really should be oriented upright. I could be wrong. A standing tank. That's what the one guy said that he looked at it. He says that should be a standing tank. And I don't know if it's...
No, we're not moving it.
But if he was to do repair it inside and out, you know, and refurbish it.
Originally was standing, but it was a fuel tank.
Oh.
That tank? Your tank. It was never standing up.
Oh, okay. Well, that either way, you know, his...
Originally, sometime in the past, that was standing up. I mean, it's corroded on one end. At some time, whether it was just sitting or something, it was had stuff in it vertically, not the way it is oriented now.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I just put that down there, that, you know, whether we
Is the total for both system maintenance
but
and
it,
water
it costs
storage?
Enough. I mean, you can't move that tank with any piece of equipment in King County. Can't, there's not a crane here heavy enough to barely
to,
can have.
To
we had a
yeah.
crane come out of St. George to lift one end at a time, and
is that right?
We paid to engineer the footings that it's sitting on,
okay.
laying down. You try to stand it up,
okay.
and you're.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
it's.
Is that?
But anyway, I've got. Obviously, that tank needs to be addressed. Either what are we? This is something that we've been over trying to do for what 2 years now, Larry?
Oh no, no,
three
no.
years.
Well, this tank thing. I mean, this goes back to when it was purchased.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was supposed to be
in
warranted.
In 05,
by,
it was
right.
refurbished in 05.
Okay.
By Richard Cogger, and then we, you know, obviously that's what failed in the inside now. So,
okay.
to get someone out here to do it properly and do it right, it's going to be over $10,000. So,
so 15.
I put
figure?
15,000 as just the budget figure, just throwing it out there. But you know, do we look at do we look at other options? I mean, I don't know.
I had a thought
we,
in that.
We,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know, with this agricultural project going on, I mean, would it make any sense to buy a totally new tank for culinary use and forego the repairs on this 40,000 gallon?
Well,
I know we have a responsibility to the people who paid into the system.
Right. And I'm not sure. Dale's smiling. He's like. Okay, what are best for water? You know, it feels probably the premium tank, right? You know, then there's concrete, and then there's
well, a lot
volume.
Of the new water tanks are all cement stuff. But you know, you're so far. I mean, you're talking $200,000 or $300,000 to
yeah.
put a new tank in. I mean, it's so far beyond our budget.
Well, polys are reasonable, but there's no warranty on them over 6 months or a year or
yeah.
something like that, or 2 years or something like that. But poly tanks are only, and a lot of people. You know, for their own private homes
sure.
out there,
small
have
uses.
Polys, you know, small uses. It's 50 cents a gallon, you know, the price. So a 1,000-gallon tank is $500. 10,000, you know, 5,000.
No way.
This
way.
Is it out this way? Okay.
I really think this year, I think that the tank's still got to be used for the next 10 years for water.
Okay.
We got to,
okay.
the one time, get it fixed up. And by the time that... Mike DeVallis, people build nice homes. I mean, the future someday is us having more of a professional system or having King County Water Conservancy District come in and help
do
to
improvement.
Maintain, put in a system, have a SID. I mean, someday in the future.
Someday,
that's
high in the sky.
Okay.
Right.
Real quick.
Okay.
Is there anything besides budget that's going to be covered after this? I may have to hit the road.
No.
Get back before that snow gets real
no,
heavy.
This is it. This is it. Outside of taxes and local, we've already got that taken care of. Just like I said, this is preliminary. Let's look it over.
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, is you okay? I mean, is this something that we want to tackle? This, we keep talking about it over year after year. Are we going to tackle this thing or not? So we got people that want to pay into the system. Yeah. This is our main water.
I think, one, we've got to research and know where we are and who's paid in, who's expecting, how much has gone in that's been...
Yeah, but,
away
but
somewhere.
Still, this is our headquarters water.
Right. I think it's got to happen this year.
Okay. All right. That'll do. Okay.
Spring, right? April?
Yeah, well, now we're kind of off. And depending on who the contract is, some of them are saying temperature's a factor, some are saying it's not. We'll see.
I don't think you can get it done in this temperature, no.
Oh. I think now we're talking
April,
about
May.
April.
Yeah.
But before May happens.
Is this our budget now, then?
No. Still preliminary. They've got to massage it. Yeah,
I wouldn't make any changes in the computer until we're done.
Okay.
We'll let you know, Linda, when we're done. We're going to communicate by email.
Let's talk next meeting and if you're leaving.
Yeah, let's talk.
Because I think that whatever work's going to be done, I'm almost thinking that still really to hammer through these things without it, like we are now. I mean, if we were starting our meeting right now and I had lunch in front of me, and 4 hours to concentrate on this, that's what usually it takes to hammer through one of these budgets and get something that's meaningful. And it can't be done with the formalities and, you know, visiting with
right,
everybody
okay,
else.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think to have our next meeting and try to gather this information, because we need to know what we've got committed to this and some of these leases and stuff, and then have a meeting with a budget committee that maybe some board members and you know, Dale and some non-board members or whatever in between now, I would like to... with his presentation and that, to try to get that approved at the next meeting. But if we are looking into January,
Well, let me ask this, and this is the one thing I said when I agreed to go on board. Are we still talking all Saturday meetings?
No.
I mean, it's
Fridays.
Monday. I would like to, you know, maybe we have a during the week is best for me, but I know that's tough for some that, you know, are, you know, working and taking time out or whatever. If we're going to meet Saturday, I think we need to have a Friday work meeting or something and then approve it Saturday for.
Well, when do you want to just, I'm good with just meeting just to hammer out the budget, work with Dale and this other thing and see where we're going to, where the manage, maybe the management company can help out with this. Remember, you still had potential people that wanted, you know, provide capital for capital improvements. We could see where that's at, and maybe that, you know. I know on your proposal, you proposed, you know, some of these areas that you're willing to work on.
Well, that should be for capital improvements, not for the DSROA monthly budget.
Right, right. So is the water tank is a capital improvement to the ranch?
Well, I think that's, I don't think part of any of this.
Okay.
I wouldn't think so.
Okay. Well, that's what we got to find. That's what we got to know.
So I'm just saying, in the middle of the holiday season, is there any ability for those that are interested enough to get together in a budget committee to get together before the holiday, or are we done until after the holiday and then we're first of the year and try to put together
a big meeting? That's the Sabbath for budget committee. I'm willing to be on the budget committee. Is there anyone else?
I'm willing to be on the budget committee.
I'm here on the weekends, so I'm here most weekends.
What's that?
I need to be a part of this.
You need to be, know what's
you have to know. Yeah, that's fine.
John,
you think this would be a suitable? I mean, the two of us can work.
No, and I think Shauna, as treasurer, oh, Shauna, you know, treasurer. May, and she's here, so she should be able to.
You just give me some dates, some times, that some options, you know.
Well, if you're the only one that's traveling and are willing to, I would still think we ought to try to hammer through stuff.
Today? No, I'm kidding. Give me a day.
Break for lunch, come back?
I definitely need to recoup.
Is there any times you're going to be back over this way?
No, you just tell me when, and I'll be back over this way. I mean, I can flex my schedule.
We're down that we've covered the budget items. That'll be in the minutes anyhow.
Yeah,
we've a tentative or proposed.
Yeah, a preliminary budget.